Sir.
Johnny Hacksaw, and this is the Hacksaw Radio Show. You're currently tuned in to episode 14 with our guest on tonight, Soul Siphoon. It is currently 2 in the morning on Friday the 23rd, and tonight we have, as always, Avid,
Hairball,
and Hairball.
I'm always here.
And of course me, hey. And then we got our guest on tonight, Soul Siphoon.
Morning.
So, I don't know, is there anything that Avid and Hairball you guys want to cover real quick?
Not really.
Nothing? Hairball? Avid?
Probably, but I won't fucking think of it until
it's Well, that's okay.
It's at the end of the show, and we'll figure something out to plug.
Yeah. Alright, let me think. Do I have anything I want to plug? Oh yeah, as always, you can catch episodes in the release in entirety. If you don't have time to get up on the website, hacksawradio.com, or you can grab the MP3 formats of our episodes, then you can check out our newsline for when we go ahead and post up new episodes. Actually, that number needs to be updated because I haven't updated it for about maybe 3 shows now. But that number is 206-888-5819. It used to be the Hacksaw Laser Directory. Actually, the Hacksaw Radio Directory. But there you can go ahead and listen to old archived episodes that we would archive on the Laser Network over there. And I believe that we only have up to 10, episode 10 archived over there for your listening pleasure over the phone. But we're actually going to turn that into more of like a news line. And then so what we're going to do is like give you all like the HBX and Hacksaw news, maybe news of our affiliates, things that might be up and coming. And then at the very end, we're going to go ahead and go through the directory of laser numbers for you guys. But as always, we just do it internet only now. And hopefully here pretty soon we'll be streaming. I'm not sure like when that's going to happen. But big shouts to Voodoo Hal and all the people over there at Bin Rev. What's up, guys? Also, Default Radio. You guys can go check them out at defaultradio.com. You can check out Stank Dog and Voodoo Hal and all them at Bin Rev, BINREV.com. For all their exploits and everything over there, they got great forums. They do Hack TV, Binary Revolution Radio, all sorts of stuff over there, so definitely go check them out. They're also in association with DDP, and I think that's about it. Tonight, we got Soul Siphoon on with a member of Scope 6 and HackThisSite.org, and we're going to be getting into a hardcore with him tonight, so I guess we're going to go ahead and let Hairball kick it off.
Me? Oh, okay. Soul Typhoon.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you do for everybody? I mean, what's your purpose?
All right. Basically, I hack this site. I'm a moderator. There's a weird, structure to that. There's normal users, and then there's staff, which consists of moderator developers. And I'm a moderator, so I check, articles and links and stuff, make sure they're okay before they actually go on the site. You know, so there's no repeat post stuff. But, I haven't done that shit in the longest time because I'm lazy, and the external link thing will grow to, 150 links, and nobody wants to check external links at all, ever. So I do lectures, actually, right now, and you can check those out. They're right on the main page under Get Involved or Get Informed or whatever.
So you're actually doing lectures for the members of HackThisSite.org?
Well, yeah, they're for everybody, but, we only get members because we're not reaching that far out. I don't actually give them. I give some, but, I host them. You guys are hosting me. I'll host lectures. So I organize all the lectures and stuff, and I've got a really sweet lecture team that I don't even have to tell them to do work. They just do shit without, even asking me. It just gets done. There's, this whole admin panel for lectures that is so much better than the Hack the Site admin panel. We've got a database that's up and coming, or maybe it's already up. I don't even know.
You're a great organizer. Hey, work gets done, right? That's all that matters.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I don't know the password to the FTP for lectures at all. They got to remind me. I'm like, all right, fine. But
sounds like you're running this stuff the same way George Bush is running the country. Make everyone else do it and take credit.
Yeah.
Not trying to diss you or anything. I'm sure you put a lot of work into it to begin with.
No, I give them credit all the time. People are like, oh, you do a great job. I'm like, no, really. I mean, it's my lecture team. They kick fucking ass. One guy, CJ Whipstar, he's pulled two or three all-nighters. He was starting to crack earlier on there, so he's going out there, but he's pulled two or three all-nighters to get some shit, hardcore coded. And it looks really fucking good. Of course, now you guys want to see that because that's the inner workings, but the lecture page is the sexiest thing on the site. Everything else fails to look as nice as the lecture page. We've got, it'll have your avatar, and then it'll have, what the lecture's on, and it'll give you a link to, the log, and it'll give you a link to your, name, and then there's another link. If you click on what time it is, it'll give you a link to, I think someone actually typed it out, to, every fucking time zone on the planet. And it will give you, the conversion and everything. It's crazy.
So how are the actual lectures carried out?
Basically, we have two IRC channels. We have lecture, and we have lecture discussion. The main lecture is held in lecture, of course. And basically, it's moderated. Nobody can talk. And actually, iShaman, the guy who runs the IRC server, has, I guess in Unreal IRC, there's this mode, plus a U, it's auditorium. So, no, you can't, normal users can't see other users except for ops, and I think voiced, and it won't show any nick changes or joins or parts, so it looks really good for logging. So he set that up, and that looks really good. But basically, what we do is we introduce the person. This person's giving a lecture on this topic, and we usually have a news post a week in advance saying this time, this date on the main site, and it's topic all over about when the lecture's going to be. So basically, they start talking. It's moderated. Nobody can talk, and the speaker, it's pretty lenient. They'll just be like, all right, I'm going to take questions now. And actually, there actually is a third channel, lecture staff, but that's not open. And we tell people, just slash message lecture staff with questions, and we'll just accumulate the questions. And then, the speaker will just go to, look in lecture staff for the questions, and he'll paste them in, and he'll say, who said them, and the question, and he'll answer them. And, that's the question and answer part, and then they just keep talking about the topic, and, then there's just a little cleanup in the end, the outro. We're like, thanks, and then we unmoderate the channel and everybody, yeah, that was a great lecture. Fuck you, that was boring.
Now, how many people attend one of these IRC meetings?
I've I think I only really remember the number from mine. The first one, it was about 30 people, I think, I heard, was the number. But, like, with auditorium, I couldn't get an exact. But, you know, it was 30 people. And, you know, we put logs online. So, I mean, it's not like, oh, dude, you missed the lecture. That sucks. You know, people can actually go and read them. And I've gotten a lot of feedback. People were like, oh, I read your lecture log. You're fucking lead, man. I'm like, no, not really, but whatever. And, you know, people have come, you know, they've asked me questions. They've been like, oh, well, I don't get, you know, how this works. I'll be like, oh, all right, dude, and I'll explain it. And they're like, oh, okay, thanks. So, and then there's the other channel lecture discussion. So, like, if somebody, you know, if we get some dupes in there, and I'm giving, like, my IP spoofing lecture, and they're like, what the fuck's a packet? You know, I'm not going to handle that question. So somebody in the lecture discussion channel will be like, oh, packet's this. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, and people can discuss the lecture, you know, in that channel. So that channel is, you know, it's just like a regular channel. So
that sounds like
cool.
a pretty actually well-planned-out system.
Yeah.
How often do you give the, or does your team give the lectures?
We try and have them every Sunday, right before or after the Hack the Site meeting, if there's a meeting that day, because traditionally we had the meetings for Hack the Site, which are open, anyone can attend and give their opinion. They're on Sunday, and, you know, we try and have them on, you know, we try and not collide, but one, I think the last lecture, the meeting ran into it a little bit, but that was, you know, it was like 5 minutes or whatever, so it's fine. But we try and have them on Sundays, you know, around the meeting time. You can check the lectures pages. We used to have them all the way up until, like, September. We're not that far planned out, but somebody asked me to try out the form, so I'm like, buffer overflows in September because I'm waiting for Nova to get back up.
Oh. You need to have some plague on that to explain your stuff.
Yeah.
So what are some... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
What are some of the topics you discuss, or your team discusses in the lectures?
First one was me with IP spoofing. Then there was a bot hacking lecture, which I thought was really cool, by a shaman who runs the... you know, he runs the whole IRC network, which I was in staff harassing him how to, like, how do I hack X? Because, you know, the internet, he wouldn't tell me, but I knew he knew, but he wouldn't get into it. And he knew some cool shit. And I was like, damn, like, he got into some really cool shit, but he had, like, you know, the really lead shit. He wasn't, you know, giving out. So that was the second one. I think the third one was, two of the guys on my lecture team did basic electronics, which is the first part of a multi-part series that they're going to do. And that was, I didn't catch that lecture because I was at Hope. I popped in the channel for like 3 seconds and I saw, and they were talking and they were finishing each other's sentences, and it was the most mind-boggling, amazing thing I've ever seen. I was like, okay. But, so there's an electronics one. There's supposed to be a JavaScript one, like using it as an inline debugger or something, which I was like, wow, that's interesting. But that guy's computer got hacked the day of, and he didn't show up. And we were like, fuck. So that was our
like
first...
conspiracy to me.
What?
We must stop him from giving the lecture. We will assassinate his computer. He can't go to the meeting and tell everyone how to do it.
I know. I was kind of like, wow, that's kind of cool, but he didn't show up, so that was our first, like, canceled lecture. We were, like, flipping out staff. We're like, oh, what do, you know? Does anybody here know JavaScript? No. And I was like, all right, maybe I can wing it. And I'm, like, I'm in the lecture channel. I'm like, who wants to learn Perl? And, like, no response. Some guys are talking about, like, bomb making. I'm just like, dude, Hack the Site does not advocate the making of bombs. So that was our first canceled lecture. We were flipping out because we didn't know what to do. So after a while, like a half hour, we waited and we canceled. That guy didn't show up until today. So that kind of sucked. We had an SQL lecture, which is my personal favorite so far, because I actually learned something, because I can't do SQL at all. So it's cool that even I get to learn things, which, all right, whatever.
Okay, so the next question is, now that we know, for example, some of the topics,
yeah,
how advanced are they? Do they start with a basic understanding of the principles and get into the nitty-gritty?
So far, it's been, you know, it's been advanced topics, but we started from, like, step one. Like, my IP spoofing lecture, the day before, or not the day before, but a couple days before, I realized, shit, people aren't going to know, like, you know, TCP/IP. Like, because I realized that, you know, this lecture is, like, super hyped up, you know, it's all over, it's the first lecture, and I realized that every fucking 12-year-old on half the site is going to show up and be like, what the fuck is TCP/IP, what's, you know, ISN, they're going to, like, be like, whoa, so I had to quickly throw together something, because, like, for the first lecture, I didn't want people to be turned away.
Right.
But I'm hoping to do, you know, I want to do shit so, like, people on staff are like, wow, I didn't know that. I want to do, you know, more advanced stuff. Because Hack This Site is, it's really cool because it teaches you stuff and you learn a lot. But after a certain point, it stops. And you, like, you know, you have to go outside of Hack This Site to learn it. And, like, you know, that's fine. It teaches you to look for other resources and stuff. But, like, it would be really cool if, you know, we could do, I want to bring to the next step. Another thing is the Hack This Site is all web-based shit. On the web hacking, there's, like, this pseudo-bastardized Unix mission, which I don't even know. You know, it uses ls to list a file, and then you go to the file. Boom, there's the password. Okay, that was
nice.
That was awesome, you know. Whatever. You know, the first level of Hackers Labs is tougher than that.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to do more, you know. We're doing a buffer overflow lecture. Me and the guy who has that AIM exploit, we want to do that lecture together. So, which is cool, because he knows Windows buffer overflows better than I do, and I know, like, the Unix stuff. Because, you know, I bought a book, The Art of Exploitation, which is a good book, if anybody wants to, you know, looking for how to write exploits, that book is amazing. So, but that stuff's all, like, Unix, Linux, stuff like that. So I don't know how to do any Windows stuff. So he's going to cover the Windows portion, and I'm going to do the Unix. So that's really cool. So we are planning on doing more advanced topics, and more, you know, non-web-based stuff, because the web-based stuff is pretty well covered.
A lot of war games places have web-based, and very few have the Unix-based.
Yeah, I can't really think of too many, you know,
web-based games. HBX is the company I run, sort of has a loose affiliation with Hack This Site, and I have a feeling that once our server comes back online, it's probably going to be a pretty rock-solid, you know, partnership where we're going to share our resources completely. So I would really like to see, you know, some war games spring out of HBX.
I definitely. I have four computers sitting in my fucking bedroom right now. One's the one I use mainly, but, I mean, I've got four computers, three monitors. I could set up an HBX box, and I want to. The thing is, I'm on 56K, so it's like, you know, it's not bad.
Right.
But if I had, you know, a better connection, I, you know, sure, all right, give me a, you know, a subdomain or whatever, make it resolve to this, you know.
How we do that in a heartbeat.
What?
We would do that in a heartbeat.
I know. I want to do that.
Because we're always looking for
the whole phone call thing is like, whoa, but whatever. But, yeah. Well, I, like, they want a lecture. The first lecture I actually planned on doing was buffer overflows. And this was, like, way back in December. Because this has been, like, a long process that, you know, I've been dragged through. Not really. Like, we've all gotten kind of lazy, and then one day I was like, oh, lectures, yeah, sure, whatever. Here's moderator access. Do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the first lecture I wanted to do was buffer overflows, and I think that was back when HVX was up, and I was like, oh, it would be so cool if I could, you know, talk to this guy Hairball or whoever he is, and, you know, be like, hey, dude, can I use your shell server for a day and give a buffer overflow lecture if I plug HBX a bunch of times? And I was really hoping to do that. I've been pushing for an HBX Hack This Site affiliation for a while now. Like, I mean, I talked to everybody. I'm like, oh, we should affiliate with HBX. I'm like, HBX. I'm like,
everyone ignored you for some reason until they actually get a chance to
talk. Yeah. I know. It was terrible. Well, yeah, until I got, you know, the whole radio thing set up, you guys.
Yeah, that was a match made in heaven.
Yeah, because, I mean, HGS has the web-based, and HBX has the, you know, shell stuff. So I'm hoping, you know, to do a little bit of stuff, like, because with a buffer overflow thing, I don't want to have to, like, answer questions about other, like, compilers other than, like, GCC. I don't want to have to go through debugging other than, like, GDK. Because, I mean, like, I can't cover every compiler out there. If I'm doing Unix-based stuff and people are like, I'm using Visual Studio, I mean, I can't really answer that on the fly. So that's why I'm trying to get, like, one solid place.
Yeah, everyone comes to the server and tries to build
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's going to be a big thing, we can even organize a special account that they can log.
Yeah, I was thinking, because I don't know. I don't think you'll get, like, a big workload of people. I mean, you might get enough so people are like, oh, why is it running slow? Oh, these fuckers at half this site are running a buffer overflow lecture, you know, a couple of groups, and, you know, they might, you know, notice, but, like, it would be cool if, you know, you could say on your site, you know, guys might be kind of slow today because from 1 to 2, you know, these guys are going to have buffer overflow lecture and they're going to use the server. I mean, yeah, it would be kind of cool to, like, have, like, a little thing that would say, are you from Hack the Site with the lecture, and it would just, you know.
Well, we can have a special new user script. Log in, it's like, you know, HTS, and it will create you an account, you know, based on the username you want that has all the sample, buffer code already in there.
Yeah, so they wouldn't have to, you know, code everything, you know, paste all my shit in. So that would be really cool. Like, I've been, you know...
We can definitely do that.
Yeah. And, you know, like, there's going to be other lectures, you know, shell scripts, Perl. Well, Perl I can do on Windows, but, like... When I post a lecture as a news, it'll say, like, the lecture name, who's giving it, the date, the time. And also, I had thrown in there requirements in case, you know, in case somebody is giving, like, a Perl lecture, you know, people have to have Perl. So, you know, they would have to put, you know, active Perl for Windows or, you know, just a Perl on shell or whatever. So there's a requirement thing in there, too. Like, I don't think we've used it yet, but... We plan on using it.
It's always good to have plans for the future.
I mean, if we never use it, okay, fine, but, you know.
Better in case you need it.
Yeah, so... but, yeah, you can apply for a lecture if you want, and that'll get sent to our sexy admin panel. And I'll get to look at it. It's really cool. But,
I gotta see this panel. You keep hyping it up. Is it really that sexy?
What? It's nice. Dude, all right. I'll let you borrow my account for a day. You can look at the HTS admin panel.
Yeah, well, HTS.
Not with my access. Actually, they got really mad. They got really mad at me today because I let it slip that sometimes people give me cPanel. Now, let me explain to you how staff works. There's moderators, developers, and then there's, like, I don't know what they call them, but they're, like, admins. And, all right, moderators, basically they have access to, like, checking articles and links that are pending. And, like, I think forum moderation, maybe that's just me. I have a lot of special stuff. I'm lecture staff, whatever. But then there's developers, which, you know, they have access to, like, the core files so they can, you know, develop stuff. And then there's, like, admins who, like, they have like, IRC op. They can, you know, they run the IRC server. They have cPanel and all that good stuff. And people give me cPanel out of, like, the kindness of their hearts. I don't know why. And, like, they flipped out staff today because I let it slip. Because I don't know if they've revealed this yet, but there's a really cool social engineering challenge coming up where you get a certain number of points for what access you get, and they put lecture staff on the lowest. And I'm like, how is lecture staff so low? They're like, you don't have any access. I'm like, I have access to everything on the site. I've got cPanel. And they're like, what? So that was kind of bad, but you can't really do that with my account. But I'll let you, you know, use my account for a day and check out the admin panel. Compared to the Hack the Site admin panel, you will think it's very nice. And considering we've only had it up for like a week, it's very cool. It's very secure too. Actually, try and hack into it first. But no, it's like you can't get in unless you know like the URL, which, I mean, that's not the best thing. But you also have to have access to one of like the three special accounts. So it's pretty secure.
Yeah, double layer security there.
Yeah. Now, I mean, like, in reality, what's the worst thing you can do from the lecture panel? Oh, I'm going to accept my lecture. They'll never notice. Okay, there's 8 lectures on the page, and now there's suddenly a 9th. It's not the article database where there's thousands and thousands of stuff. One's going to slip by.
Mm-hmm.
If one lecture just pops up one day, I'm going to be like, a lecture on HTML? I didn't accept this crap. That's the most... Like, I had, like, 4 people be like, I'll do an HTML lecture. I'm like, you know you don't get points for lectures. Because you get points for articles and maybe external resources. But anybody on Hack the Site can submit an article, and people can review it. And I think after a certain number of votes, you know, you get, like, 10 points or whatever added to your score. And, you know, Hack the Site does emphasize that, like, it doesn't matter how many points you have. Because, I mean, like, I've seen a developer that has, like, 300 points. I have 1,970, and like I'm nowhere on the list, you know. So like it doesn't matter how many points you have really, but like some people will, like, I'll see some really shitty articles and I'll be like, oh, it's just for points.
Yeah.
But for lectures, there's no incentive, which is really cool because we just get quality. You know, there's no incentive to give a lecture other than, you know, for an hour you talk on IRC and it's really, like, weird. But there's no incentive at all. So pretty much everything we've had is high-quality stuff. So that's pretty cool. We were thinking about giving out points, but we argued a little bit of how to set that up. Like, I mean, because I had an idea where, like, we'd ask people at the end of the lecture, you know, hey, did you like the lecture? And if they were like, yes, we'd give them, you know, a point or 2 points or whatever. And, you know, if 30 people say, you know, we like the lecture, and we each give them, you know, a point for each person who liked it, you know, that's 30 points, which is three times what you can ever get on an article. But then, like, we were thinking, oh, yeah, well, some asshole just brings in a bunch of clones or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then we're thinking, well, maybe, you know, we just, you know, just decide, we just go to the lecture, and we actually go, oh, this is high-quality stuff, you know. Here's 15 points, or that was garbage. How did you actually, you know, think you could give a lecture on this? You get, you know, 5 points or whatever. But I don't know. So right now we haven't given any points.
Actually, I think it's probably better that you don't, because then you just get the quality stuff all the time.
Yeah, you think so? All right.
I mean, I do. I mean, right. I'm not in the panel or anything like that. Yeah.
Well, that's the good thing about HackTheSite. We take, like, everybody's fucking opinion. And we're, most of the time, like, you know, unless you catch us on a really bad day, even if it's a really dumb idea, we'll be like, oh, well, you know, we'll be like, oh, that idea doesn't work. You know, we're not going to be like, screw you, you know, you've been banned from Hack the Site.
Is there anybody that's actually banned?
There are a few people that, like, have been, like, I saw one guy just got, like, permabanned. I've seen people get G-lined on Hack the Site. I don't know, like, they have to do something really bad, like flood the server or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're pretty open, you know. You have to really piss us off. I mean, some people, like, you know, they have tempers, and, you know, you piss them off, you are getting kicked with no warning. Me, I'll tell you a little story about a guy who wanted to run DCOM, all right? And he was in the channel for, like, a week, all right? The first 2 days, he was asking for a DCOM exploit. And I told him, dude, you can get it off of here. And he's like, no, there's a new one. I want it. It's O-Day. Like, I think he was a Romanian. Which,
oh.
I don't want to bash Romania. Well,
please, go ahead and bash the Romanian.
Yeah, I don't want to piss him off. What the hell. you know, he had really bad English. Like, so, like, he couldn't really convey his ideas. So I told him, dude, you know, you can get it here. And, like, he's like, oh, no. And, I didn't know, I think, yeah, DCOM's full disclosure, so I didn't know that at the time, so I thought they were script kiddie proof, most of them. So he's like, oh, I can't get it to compile or whatever. So I'm like, oh, well, it's probably, you know, script kiddie proof, so people can't just run them that don't know what they're doing. And he's like, well, teach me how to do it. I'm like, dude, no. This is all in private messaging, which,
yeah.
I mean, if it happens in the channel, that's fine, but, like, private messaging, like, it's another open window, so it's pissing me off a little bit. So eventually I'm like, dude, no. So after 2 days, I just, you know, I give him a kick. I'm like, all right, dude, screw you. I'm like, you're not going to get it to compile. So on, like, the third day, he was like, can someone get me a compiled DCOM exploit? I'm just like, oh, my God. So I pretty much, I think somebody else kicked him. And on the fourth day, I kick-banned him for asking for it. And, like, on the fifth day, he just really pissed me off. And
why does he keep coming back?
I know. Oh, God. There's this one guy. I'll get in that story. That's a good story. But, yeah, he just kept coming back, and finally I kick-banned him. I can't G-line people, but, like, that got the message crossed.
Right.
Like, I didn't remove the ban for, like, 3 days. I didn't know that no one removes the ban. Like, you know how, like, you ban somebody, and, like, you know, the egg drop takes care of it in 2 hours or whatever. On Hack the Site, there is no, like, nothing takes care of the ban. So I remember I banned some dude, and I thought, oh, I'll take that off tomorrow. I came back a week later, and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that guy for a while, and, you know, I look at the modes on Hack the Site, I'm like, oh, the ban's still on. After that, and I was like, oh, I removed him. I'm like, has anybody seen so-and-so? And they're like, no, I haven't seen him in a while. I'm like, oh, God. I felt really bad, but I was like, all right. He actually showed back up, so that was okay. There's this one guy, though. His username is Crash Override.
Oh, no.
You can already see where this is going.
Oh, this is going down real quick.
All right. And we were in question mark hell. I'm not saying he was asking a lot of questions, but a lot of the same question. He would ask one question, and he would have more question marks than the number of letters it took to type it. And we were like, dude, one fucking question mark. and HackBitSite is pretty active, so we can't see every line. Like, after a while, I just get trained to pick up, like, on my name and on interesting things. I don't pick up on all, like, the bullshit. So I'm not going to pick up on a stupid question on, like, how to hack. Well, actually, I do, because it's fun to kick those people. But, yeah. But, like, you know, like, I didn't see it. So then he starts using 40 question marks, literally, and, like, some slashes. Like, he couldn't even do it correctly. He couldn't even hold the shift key down long enough. He was getting tired. So, like, I was like, dude, one question mark. After, like, three times, I was like, okay. Everybody was like, dude, kick man. I was like, all right, fine. I kicked him. And, like, four people were like, oh, whatever username, because I use, like, 8 on HackBitSite. Rocks, yeah. Someone gave me a hug, and I'm like, okay, dude, that's a little... I kicked the guy. It's not that big of a deal. But he kept showing back up, and I think he's finally learned, like, some etiquette of IRC. So I see him on, and he's not really pissing people off, so, which is good. But he was annoying. We get some really annoying people. I don't think anybody, though, like, one specific person is, like, permabanned from HackBitSite. There's no, like, whatever happened to so-and-so, oh, he got G-lined. You know, it's always like, oh, we G-lined that entire ISP so that, you know, they flooded us. We have G-lined some people because they're like, oh, I can evade your bans. Okay, I'm going to ban your ident, I'm going to ban your name, I'm going to ban your entire ISP. Evade that bitch. And they're like, no. So, but, yeah. So we get a lot of noobs. I don't know how people find out about HackBitSite, but we will get people that are like, I'm on AOL, and, you know, I know, so, like, one of the guys on my lecture is AOL, and he knows, like, way more about PHP and SQL than I can ever hope to know, so I'm not bashing AOL people. But, like, you know, we'll get people who are like, oh, I got one of the AOL free disks. I've been online for 3 days. Someone teach me how to hack. And I'll be nice, and I'll be like, go to the website that you somehow magically got to hear from and look at the stuff on the website. But that's what I don't understand. People will pass by the thousands and thousands of articles, the message boards, and go straight to IRC. And somebody the other day said, wouldn't it be great if we could somehow check if people have checked the article database and the forums before they came here for answers? Because we'll get people that will ask questions that, you know, 14 articles have been written on it. And it's kind of a thing to ask. So we'll, like, go to this article link. They're like, oh, I didn't see that. You can look.
But you may have the people that be like, you know, read this book, and they come back like 20 minutes later, I checked it, it's kind of long, can you just tell me?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can explain it in 4 sentences instead of reading the whole fucking 20-page book or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some guy who was like, how do I do this challenge? I gave him a hint, and like 3 seconds later, he's like, what do I do now? I'm like, dude, I'm not going to hold your hand. And they're like, oh, and then... the next day, they asked the question again. I didn't kick them, though. I was like, dude, and I just started screaming at them. I'm like, this is awesome. There's a help channel, which is help. There's a bot in there that you type, like, hint or something, and, like, what type of mission it is, and the number, and it will give you a hint. Or it will give you, like, a bunch of links to articles on how to do it. And it's really cool, and people don't utilize that, which... I don't know what people expect to get out of talking to other people. So, I don't know. I'm relatively new to IRC, actually. I've only been on IRC for, like, less than a year or about a year, which is, you know... Like, that's why I don't understand why people, you know... I haven't interacted with people at all. Like, if I had a problem, I'd be like, okay, you know, I'll Google something. That's what people don't understand. We tell people, go Google it, and they're like, I still can't find it. Okay.
People need to learn the art of Googling. I mean...
Not even... okay, it's an art if you want to, like, you know, grab someone's HTA password that they, you know, forgot to make private. You know, that's an art. But just typing in, like, fucking, like, you know, HTTP header spoofing. That is the question we get asked about the most, is when you have to spoof your browser and you're referring URL and some other stuff to beat this one mission. Mm-hmm. We get that question the most. So I always tell people, oh, you've got to, you know, look up HTTP header spoofing, because, you know, you can do it that way. You can do it through JavaScript, actually, which I'm not into JavaScript, so I did, you know, the old school way. I telnetted to hack the site, and I did it that way.
Right.
but, like, you know, like, and I've had a lot of people actually, like, go and Google it and figure it out, which is really cool, but I'll get some people who are like, I still don't get it, and I Googled it. Did you click on any of the links? And, you know, Google's not going to be like, okay, there's now a file on your, you know, desktop. Double-click it to beat the challenge. Thanks, Google. But,
not yet. Yeah. Google's working on it.
I can see that coming out one day. I don't think Google could do any wrong at this point. You know, they've got Gmail, which, you know, they look at all our mail, make little relevant ads, which I actually haven't seen any of the ads yet. I don't know. Maybe I have a special Google account, but I haven't gotten a single ad in my Google thing. Like,
they're in there. They're just, you know, not in your face. When you're reading a message, they're to, like, the middle right.
Oh, all right. Well, I haven't seen them at all, but, like, Google would be like, we're going to kill all the sick people. And the sick people would be like, yeah, Google's going to kill us. They'd be like, awesome. But, yeah. So we got to tell people to Google things, but there's, like, this whole process on, like, how to help someone now. And if they can't be helped, we just ignore them and kick ban them. I'm used to Undernet, though, where there's, like, no real, like, newbie, like, help rules. Like, Undernet Hack... Oh, my God. I remember getting banned from there for asking, like, legitimately good questions. And, like, now I'm an op in there, so I can ban people for asking legitimately good, like, good questions now.
See how it works?
Yeah, it's great.
You kiss enough ass, you get op, and then you can start, you know, getting rid of the newbies yourself.
Yeah, no, it's great. But, like, that's what I'm used to. Like, I was on Undernet before I was on Hack the Site, the IRC. So I'll, like, sit and hack one day, and, like, there'll be, like, a flood of fucking assholes. And I'll just ban them all. And we'll get the same assholes on Hack the Site, like, you know, different people, but same mentality. And I won't, like, think that they're, you know, I won't remember I'm on Hack the Site. I'll be like, oh, I'm on Hack. And I'll just start, like, I'll go to ban someone, and I'll see, like, a name that's from Hack the Site, and I'll be like, oops. So, like, I'll sometimes get in the Undernet mentality and just sort of, like, go to this kick ban, like, 40 people. I said it multiple times, and none of the people on Hack the Site, or at least most of them, would survive on, like, a real IRC server where there's, like, no rules. There's no one to be like, here, do this, or help you along. Like, I mean, I've had people follow me. This is really creepy.
I've been stalked.
Yes, I've had people this is really fucking creepy. For the bot hacking lecture, iShaman pasted something in. You know, he's like, here, type this in. And it was something that would, like, you know, open up the back door in your browser. He was just kidding. He was like... And then I was on Hack on Undernet. Some dude pasted it in. Like, someone on Hack was going to be, you know, going to do it. He got kicked by one of the other ops on there. And I was like, oh, that's some guy from the Hack the Site lecture. And they all know I'm from Hack the Site. And they, like, they make fun of me all the time for it. Like, so they were looking at one of the lecture logs, which is the worst mistake ever. Like I screw something up, and they're like, you know, they send me all these URLs and stuff. I'm like, no, you're wrong. You know, I've got irrefutable proof. I coded this. And some guy asked, like, where they can get Linux. You know, I mean, that's not a terrible question. But, I mean, you know, these are people that, you know, they've coded most of Linux. So, I mean, they, you know, so... You know, like, they're like, you actually enjoy answering this shit? I'm like, you've had to answer my questions.
Basically,
you know,
the way, yeah, exactly. You have to help.
Whose question am I going to answer?
You have to help the people, or else the new people will fucking turn the script keys.
I know. Well, you know, some people, I'm like, dude, I haven't talked to anybody online for, like, 4 years, and I know all this shit. Why can't you do that? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, screw you then. But... Yeah, I actually had someone, this is really, really, this is when I was like, wow, this is weird. I had someone follow me all the way from Hack the Site. I wasn't even on, they just were in the channel one day. They followed me from Hack the Site to Undernet on Scope 6 to the Scope 6 server run by, I think, EagleX. And one day I just pop in and they're just sitting there. I'm like, what are you doing here? And I was like, wow, that's really weird.
Anyway, he found out where he wanted to go. He figures if you use it, it must be a pretty kick-ass place.
Yeah, and, you know, there's me, there's EagleX, there's the bot that auto-ops you, and there's him. Nobody's chatting in that channel. I stopped going on that server completely. But, no, they weren't even in, like, the big, you know, Scope 6 room. Hairball, you know that room, right? You know, there's 17, 20 people in there. This is, like, the Scope 6 IRC server where there's, like, 4 people in the room. That was really creepy. Actually, one of the IRC ops has asked me several times to get HBX and Scope 6 to move over to hack the site. I'm just like, I'll ask. And
I don't know. I wouldn't mind moving over.
I already have the HBX channel registered. It was the day that, like, there's no ops, because I was on the day that Nexon was the only op, and then it was like, Nexon just quit IRC. I just started laughing my ass off, because I was like, there's nothing you can do, really, so I just laughed. And I was like, well, this would be a great time to tell Hairball about irc.hackthesite.org. I was like, I should go register the channel now.
Right.
I'll give you founder status if you want. But
whatever. I don't really... See, when it comes to chatting on the internet, I think that operator status actually hurts more than it helps, because, you know, in chat services where they don't have ops, people actually chat. In IRC, people just, like, they linger for years and years until they're ups, and they linger some more. You know what I mean?
I've seen people that are like, I've never seen them talk before, and they're like, oh, I've been on this for 8 years. I'm like, I thought you were a bot. Seriously, I had this conversation with this guy, and he's like, yeah, I've been on this channel for 7 years. I was like, I haven't seen you chat until, like, 4 months I've been here, and they're like, oh, well. I'm like, I thought you were a bot.
With a name like Hairball, I get mistaken for a bot quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we have some interesting bots in Hack. Some of the bots are actually, like, people will chat with the bot, which is really, really stupid. It'll get to the point where someone will be like, they're a bot, and they're like, oh, I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you just ask them ASL? It's whatever. But
well,
if you want
Johnny?
To... What?
Johnny, did you say something?
No, I'm all right.
Alright, if you want to move over to Hack the Site, I'll toss you the founder status. You know,
I don't know. I mean, I've been using Undernet for a very long time.
Alright.
And
just
I mean, it's a pain in the ass, but it's really nice, you know?
Yeah. But, you want to talk about Hope for a little bit?
You've got the floor. You talk about whatever you want.
You probably have more crazy stories of Hope than I do.
I can't get into them right now.
Oh, you can't get into your stories? All right. I've got the cool, legitimate stories.
Oh, well, those are good things.
Yeah, I've got the story of, like, a train ride where I got sick. No, that's not a story at all.
Boring.
Yeah. The title says it all. Train ride where I got sick.
Wonder what happens in this one.
Yeah. But, I only got to stay for the last 2 days, which sucked. I had to leave really early on Sunday. With my luck, they probably called my number for a door prize, so I can see it happening. Hope, I didn't really see anything really crazy other than that one guy with the antenna. Did you see that guy, Hairball? He was sitting at the HBX Hack the Site table on the second day. He had the antenna stuck to the wall. You remember that guy at all?
I was kind of like... You know, sleepwalking that whole second day.
The second day you were like, that was Sunday. Sunday you were gone. You fell asleep in the corner. I stacked CDs up around you.
Yeah, thanks. I got pictures on the internet with me.
Oh, that was you that did that?
Yeah, that was.
Were you actually the one in the picture stacking the CDs?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know if it was a picture you stacking. It was just a picture of the work.
Yeah, it was just a picture of you. Hairball. Can I get a copy of one of them?
Yeah, because there was a picture of somebody, like, going through the CDs and Hairball just, like, crashed down the corner there. And
I can't believe I fell asleep on the floor in the vendors area. Security actually asked me if I was right. They thought I was fucking, like, dead or something.
Diabetic comatose or something.
I was thinking about opening the second box, but I wasn't sure if you were taking the second box with you.
I left them all on the fucking floor in the vendor's area.
Dude, I thought of the perfect idea. We had them all labeled with HBX.us. We didn't need to give them out at the hacker convention. We needed to put them out on the street. Just, like, dump them somewhere.
In the subway.
Yeah.
Right. People would just pick them up. I mean,
they would, too.
Yeah, but it's not really targeted advertising if you just take them to the subway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem was that you were giving out the CDs, and, you know, everybody there pretty much knew that Windows 3.1 isn't the lead to shit anymore.
It's probably the most secure.
Yeah.
The most secure version of Windows that you still run modern-day shit on.
But if you just dump those on the ground outside with HBX.us, I mean, every person on the street would be like, oh, what's this free CD? And, you know, take it with them. And then later on be like, oh, a web URL. You know, go to it maybe. That would have been better than giving them out. Because you had that little stack of paper and you had the CDs. People would look at the CD and then they would see the stack of paper and put the CD down.
What you don't know about is the other 400 CDs that I had in the hotel room. I actually brought 600 to Hope.
God.
And only brought 200 to the vendors.
My
expecting
God.
To give them out the first day.
Oh.
And then get some more. I had 4 more cases in the hotel room I just left laying in the hallway.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but not to worry. I have about another 950 cases.
You should just mail them to people.
Took man.
Out of, like, fucking nowhere. What's this? From HBX.US? Oh, my God, it's a box of CDs. And then they actually look at the CD. And they're like, I actually took that. I'm just going to sit there and stare. And they're going to be like, what the fuck am I going to do with 200 CDs of Sarah McLachlan? I actually, like, got those, like, I actually gave out, like, 5 in a row. I was, like, 5 for 5 right before I left.
Nice.
I was like, I showed some guy, I was like, oh, dude, here, take the CD, HBX, say yes. She's like, oh, no, I'll remember. I'm like, dude, you're going to feel like such an ass when you're 2 vendors down and you forget the name and you have to come back to us. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, that's right. And he took a CD. I did that, like, 4 more times. It worked like a charm.
Nice.
It was great. I'm like, dude, it's 3 letters. If you're going to be, like, H. EU? What was, you know, you would be pissed. I'm like, it's a free shell service. I didn't tell them about the fact that it was down.
Yeah, I kind of, that's a kind of like a frowning point there.
Yeah.
We offer all this shit, but it's not working right now.
Yeah, you had like that thing, and they're like, oh, wow, this is free shell service for hackers. And then you're like, oh, yeah, but.
But it's
down right now.
Need money, broke, got bills.
Broke, paid off.
Yeah, you got a lot of money from there, didn't you?
$138 and some change.
I'll buy a nice video card or something.
Video card? It's a server, man. We don't need a video card.
Somebody needs a video card for that thing. Hook it up to like 6 different monitors, make it look really cool. I don't know.
Servers don't need monitors.
Yeah, I've come to that realization because I had 3 monitors and 4 computers. Somebody's, you know, not really getting seen all that much. If something goes wrong with that, if I can't fix it remotely, I get really mad because I have to hook all this shit up. They don't even have a monitor and keyboard. It just sits there.
Most powerful machines in the world don't have monitors.
Yeah, well, they have lots of money. They make sure everything works okay. I've got, like, a fucking Compaq, another no-name, a no-name. And I got the Beast. Did we ever show you the Beast hairball?
You showed me some pictures of it, but you really didn't describe it too much.
All right. This is the next HBX box if I ever get a good connection. It's this old Packard Bell case, and it doesn't have any, like, bay covers or whatever you'd call them. So the whole, all the bays that aren't being used are open, so it has a big mouth. And we just fucking took, like, duct tape and electrical tape, and we designed the whole fucking thing. It looks like shit, but it looks pretty good. But we broke the CD, and we put teeth in the thing, and we called it the Beast. And we got pictures online, but I think we got to take new ones, because those are pretty shitty pics. But that's one of the computers that I've got.
We definitely need to get some HBX boxes that are like...
If I had a better connection, I could probably throw up like 3 machines and just, you know, give people one address, or one URL, and then, you know, have something that'll divvy it up between the 3 so it's not all in one box. I don't know. It's whatever. I need help setting it up, though, because I can't throw on free BSD and just expect it to work. I can't even get free BSD really working, but I think this show's supposed to make me look good, not like, you know, this is what I can't do.
Well, I mean, we're going to eventually, we're being HBX, we're going to release a set of scripts. Like, you install, you know, FreeBSD to your machine, and you copy over, you know, XYZ configuration files with these ones, and all of a sudden your box makes a pimp-ass shell server.
All right. I think I heard, like, rumors of that. So that's pretty cool.
It's still in, you know, alpha stage. So
yeah.
Lots and lots of work left to be done on it.
Yeah.
But it's basically going to be a nice little tar zip that you just dump on top of your file system and reboot, and you're set.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Just have, like, in the forums, some guy would be like, oh, I just threw up an HBX box. Here's, you know, the IP.
Well, we're definitely going to do that. I mean, we're going to make it So because we can't possibly run all the HBAC servers ourselves. We want them everywhere. The more the better. And it'll be even better if it's decentralized. You know, you set up an HBA box, give us your IP address, we'll link you on the website, and good luck trying to fucking, you know, if the Fed never want to raid, they're not going to be able to fucking find all these people, you know?
Yeah, it'd be great to answer the log files. You give them the log files like 23 different computers. All it is like these blurry log files. Some guy, there's this really, like, this guy who's like 60. He showed up, and this was when you and guy who runs Hack the Site were out, you know, alternatively purchasing food. So me and whoever was selling shirts at our table.
That's
was there.
Chicago guy.
What?
I think I said Hanno. He's from Chicago.
Yeah. But, you know, this guy shows up, and he's, you know, I mean, he's not, like, 20 and, you know, carrying a laptop, you know. He's over the hill. And he's talking about HBX, and he's all excited. He starts talking about log files. I'm like, oh, no, dude. And I explain the log files a little bit. I told him how, you know, there's no real log files. And he's like, oh. And he started talking about, like, poetry in the log files. I had no clue what he was talking about. And I looked at him, and he looked like he was on acid.
There you go.
He was talking about, like, poetry in the log files, and I was like, wow. I just stood there, and I was like,
old time deadhead.
I was like, wow, that's really cool. And he just, you know, he took, like, two CDs and wandered off. That's why I knew he screwed up when he started taking stacks of CDs. Yeah, Hope was pretty awesome, though. Those, the cluster computers, they weren't really clusters. That was a nice addition. I didn't think they were going to have computers there. I was kind of bummed because I don't have a laptop.
Oh, that's what makes Hope different from all the other conventions. They gave you the network terminal, or the public network.
They weren't really clusters, though, right?
No, it was his name.
No.
It was the public terminal cluster, but it's ass little computers that are, like, linked together. It probably should have been called the public network.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Is that some company that does that, or is that the people who run Hope do that? Because they have
that's the third-party company called Tamalama.
That's pretty cool, though, I guess. They had a lot of those computers, though. They're all the same. That was the creepy part. It's not like, you know, they had a bunch of boxes somebody donated. They're, like, all the same. That was really weird.
They come from an old school or something.
Oh, really? I think so.
They're all 46s.
Yeah. They ran great, though. I mean,
well, that's because they were just client machines. You know how X-Windows is the client server system?
Yeah.
It had all the machines were just running X client on a central.
Yeah, I saw that happening when it booted up. It was booting up on like Linux and then dropped me into FreeBSD.
I know, it was so fucked up, wasn't it?
I was like, what the hell? Yeah, you grabbed a root on it. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not FreeBSD.
I owned clients and I failed miserably at owning the server.
I know. Everybody did.
No one can hack FreeBSD. I think FreeBSD is more secure than freaking Solaris.
Really, you think so?
I think it is.
Hmm.
I really think it is. FreeBSD is rock hard.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on with those computers. I can't believe out of everybody there, four people CH modded their directories so only they could use it.
Oh, come on, who the fuck cares? I mean, what important files do you really
have? I grabbed a bunch of exploits off of one kid's directory. His directory just kept getting better and better. Every day there's like four new exploits I've never seen. I was like, oh, hey, this is great. Yeah,
that.
Well, imagine what the guy that runs the freaking network could talk home with him on the hard drive.
Well, I went through everyone's directory at the beginning of each day. So unless those people with like a four or five directories that, like, you know, made them private. Unless,
they probably made
them
private for a reason, though.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But, I mean, if they're smart enough to make them private, they were smart enough to, like, you know, clear the files when they were done. But I made a tar file of everything I got off the Hope. I put it up on Scope 6, I think. I'm not going to give out the URL because I'm not done going through all the files and making sure there's nothing really cool in there. But
so actually, it's a really good segue into your experience with Scope 6.
What?
You bringing up Scope 6. Why don't you talk more about it?
You want me to talk about what I do or just Scope 6 in general?
I'll do a little bit of both. I'll let you at the table.
Yeah, all right. Or
whatever.
Well, Scope 6 is a security research group, and it looks pretty cutting edge to me. I don't really see anything awesome, but I hear about it. No. There's a bunch of people who code and stuff for Scope 6, and we do exploit research and stuff like that. I am the alternative operating systems coder, which is Cyber's nice way of saying he's the Windows coder. The day I saw that, like, he didn't tell me. I was like, I'll do the Windows stuff. He's like, okay, sure. And I was like, oh, all right. And he's like, alternative operating system coder. I'm like, dude, you want me to code you an operating system? He's like, no, it means Windows. I'm like, oh. I don't think Windows is the alternative for many people. But
well, it's just, I don't think he wants to have the word Windows on his website anywhere.
Yeah, I think so. But right now I'm working on a Windows vulnerability scanner, which right now just has the scanning, not too many vulnerabilities.
Hey, that's a good start, though.
Yeah, I was having big problems. I was on Windows 98, and it kept blowing up on me because I couldn't handle it. And I upgraded to Win2K, and it worked like a charm.
Actually, 2000 was a really rock-hard operating system.
That's what I'm using now, and I am looking at the dump of my SAM file, and there is one too many usernames, and I'm not too happy about that.
Owned.
I know. I went for 3 days without patching this thing, without, like, a firewall or anything, just sitting out there. So, yeah. Yeah, I think I got to reform. Like, I burnt all the updates because I'm on dial-up. So Windows update on dial-up is murder. So I'm gonna burn. I didn't know they saved the updates to the computer because I never really updated Windows because my connection didn't allow it. Not real copies. That's what I really mean. But whatever. I'm gonna burn all the updates to the CD and then just reformat and pop the CD in and update. Today on IRC, the stupid shutdown thing came up for, like, DCOM, for, like, Blaster, but I'm not vulnerable to Blaster anymore, and Blaster wasn't on there. And I didn't know shutdown.
Well, see, now, that's something that you probably should be aware of, is Blaster was a vulnerability for DCOM.
Yeah, I know.
Then there was a vulnerability for another part of RPC that also brings up the same shutdown dialogue. I forget the name of the file. I think it was lsas.dll or something.
Oh, are you fucking serious?
Yes, there is another one. I can honestly say that I got owned by it, too.
All right.
When I was running HBX, I had my personal desktop on the same internal network, and I got rooted because I wasn't patched in time, and someone got all my files. But, hey, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what kind of hacker doesn't get hacked themselves?
I
know. You
know? But the thing that, yeah, I'm like a big target, too. Banning people left and right. I'm cloaked, though. I take my precautions. But the thing that pissed me off, though, is that on Windows XP, which is what I've been working with for the past, like, you know, 6 months or so, the day that Blaster hit the news and everything, like, I got it. So, like, I wasn't patched at all. So, you know, the shutdown thing kept popping up. And I eventually figured out if you type down shutdown-A, it'll abort the shutdown. So I was like, okay, fine. Now, like, my parents use the same computer, and I hadn't figured out how to fix Blaster yet, so I just learned out, like, a simple, like, 12-line Perl program that would just keep shutting down my dash A every, like, 5 seconds. So if it came up, it would go away, so, and they, you know, they could do whatever they wanted, fine.
Meanwhile, you're getting owned left and right.
I know. But, well, I thought it was just the worm at the time. I didn't think anybody was actually, like, you know, there's actual people with...
Oh, you had no idea.
Yeah, it was my parents' computer, and all my shit was on, like, a shell somewhere, so...
Let me tell you what, man. I got a hold of the DCOM about 2 weeks before the worm went out. I had that shit in the user bin directory of Nova. And if you just go and log into your shell and type in DCOM, you know, it was in your path.
Oh, my God.
And some of the fucking shit people were doing, or people may have been doing, was insane. Have you ever used DCOM before?
I've used it a couple of times, yeah.
Of our listeners aren't familiar with it, DCOM, space IP address, enter, 3 seconds later you had a freaking root prompt of the Windows box.
Exactly.
It's just that easy. It's like the ultimate script kiddie tool.
Yeah.
And you're not administrator. You're a system. Which is the highest. It's like saying you're not a police officer, you're the police chief, you know?
Yeah.
You can delete files while they're in use. Something an administrator can't even do.
That's because DCOM's running as a service, right?
Right, yes.
It's not a regular file started by the administrator.
It's a running kernel level, you know, so you own it. DCOM was such a big gaping hole. I'm surprised Microsoft didn't get sued over it. And this is a little bit
of
knowledge.
You got to sue them. that'll get you some money back for HBX.
I'm not going to say that I'm positive on this one, but I strongly believe that the MS Blaster worm was the cause of the nation, you know, not the nation, but the East Coast blackout that happened here in the U.S.
Really?
I'm almost positive, because that happened like 2 days after Blaster got loose. And you know damn well those big companies are running Windows.
Yeah. But yeah, the thing that pissed me off, though, is that I've been on XP, and the little thing would come down and be like, we're shutting you down in a minute. I'd be like, oh, fuck, and save everything. But, like, when I discovered on XP, type shutdown dash N, it aborts it. So that popped up today. I was on IRC, and, you know, I was seeing some other shit. I was like, oh, all right, fine. And I go, you know, start, run, CMD, shutdown dash N. It's like, file not found, or whatever the hell the Windows error does. And I was like, fuck, you mean shutdown's not found? I was like, oh, shit. And I had, like, 15 seconds left. I was like, I'll be right back to, like, all 25 channels I'm in. My computer restarted. I boot back up, and I'm like, I'm talking with somebody. I'm like, oh, dude, what the fuck? You know, somebody took shutdown out of my system, but somehow they just used it against me or whatever. And they're like, oh, Win2K doesn't come with shutdown or whatever. I'm like, what? So I couldn't abort, and I was like, what the fuck? But, yeah, my Win2K box, it's sort of secure. But I'm looking at some extra user on my Sam dump here.
What's the username? Is it like, you know, owned or
no, it's
hacker?
It's like some process name. It's like my host name, pretty much. So I think they're trying to hide themselves. Like, I found traces of my computer being owned, but like they're smart. Like, I mean, if, like, you know, Joe Blow, who knows some security, you know, was like, oh, what's wrong with my computer? Oh, I think I've been hacked. They wouldn't be able to figure it out. But I was finding extra SVC host running, like an extra one, because usually it's two on Win2K that are running. I found, like, an extra one, and you can't get rid of them unless it's, like, a different one. So I would, you know, hit end process, and it would just end, and I'd be like, you know, you normally can't do that.
Well, that might have just been spyware. A lot of spyware hides its SVC host.
No, like, I have all kinds of, like, I have a fucking cleaner. I have Hijack This, CW Shredder, Adware. So I'm pretty sure it's not spyware. Of course, I've been downloading ebooks like crazy, so maybe it is. But, you know, that shit keeps coming back, and I keep getting rid of that. And there's been some other files that I've typed, like SVO host. That one was like, oh, wow, that's, you know, that's not normal Win2K behavior. But what the fuck does this have to do with anything? What were we talking about, Scope 6? Yeah. Wow, we got pretty far off topic.
Well, that's why we do it this way.
Yeah. I've shamed Scope 6, though. I've been talking about getting owned on Windows.
So, yeah, so far you're not impressing the people in the crowd like you intended to. But, you know, everyone gets hacked. I don't care if you're freaking Bill Gates. You get hacked.
Well, Bill Gates gets hacked a lot. Yeah, but Scope 6 is some really cool stuff that pretty much you guys went over in the Scope 6 episode, but, you know, I actually got to actually look at the Universal DCOM scanner. We have that back now. That is really, really sexy. That is some nice coding.
Yeah, if only it still worked, right?
What? Yeah, I know. If only. Oh, my God.
Well, here's a little bit of information that most people aren't privy to. There are millions and millions and millions of people out there that aren't patched for DCOM. You know what the quick fix was? Every residential ISP provider in the U.S. has been mandated by the federal government to block port 139 and 135.
Oh, God.
So if they ever plug in, and guess what? Business class service can request and receive an exemption. So the HBX lines do not filter incoming nor outgoing requests for RPC. So it could be theoretically possible to remotely administer a machine via RPC from our connection, whereas from your regular, you know, Joe Blow's DSL or Joe Blow's cable, even if a machine is vulnerable, you can't get to it because it's filtering outgoing.
Now,
HBX line, we're all clear.
There's no way to get around that, though, as a home user, right?
Not that I know of. You might be able to call up your provider and be like, listen, bitch, I got to connect to my office computer. We're doing some file sharing. I need to be able to do some remote procedure calls. Turn the shit off my line right now or I'm canceling, and they might be able to push a ticket through and have it fixed. But chances are they can't even do that.
I don't want to alert my ISP. I want my account to stay like a normal, you know, user account that, you know.
Well, if you pay for business class services, and you can get away with bitching and you get stuff, you know.
Well,
if you're paying $400 a month for internet, you call them up at 2 in the morning and be like, this is what I want it now. They do it for you.
Oh, really? Well, I'm on, you know, I'm on business class 56K, so maybe they'll hook me up.
Well,
okay.
Sounds to me like you're already unfiltered, or else you wouldn't be getting known like you are.
Yeah, I'm on FrontierNet. I don't know.
But the problem is, you know, even if you can make the outgoing requests, all the residential people, you know, on the residential connections have the incoming block.
Oh, really?
So what you have to do is find out which providers or which ranges or business, you know, ranges and stick to them.
Yeah,
or which countries don't have the blocking installed.
Well, you can do a little bit of spoofing, but that wouldn't bind the shell to you. That's a problem for another day. But, yeah, the DCOM scanner is very nice. I haven't, all the exploits on Scope 6 that, like, Saiba has, like, script kiddie proofed and hyperkinetic proofed, I don't get to see the actual, like, fixed ones, which kind of sucks. I'm too afraid to ask, though, but I don't know if anybody has them because Saiba's been AWOL. I don't know where he is. Could you call that number I gave you?
Yeah, I got his voicemail. You know, I've known Saiba since 1997. And I can tell you that he disappears about once every 6 months.
Oh, all right. I got really worried about him because I've only known him for 4 months.
He always gives me some bullshit excuse on how he needs a break for a while. I think he's attending some kind of meeting or something. I don't fucking know. But he disappears like clockwork every 6 months.
Hmm. That's weird. Yeah, I was hearing stories. Like, it was the weirdest shit, though, because, like, he disappeared. Then, like, another friend of mine was like, oh, yeah, I'm moving in with my parents. I'll be back on in 3 days. I didn't really know him that well, but, like, he, you know, like, we were friends, so he could have been a Fed for all I know. He just dropped off the face of the earth for 2 weeks. So I was like, wow. And that was the same time in the cyber dispute. And something happened with the guy for hacking the site. He got in trouble with the authorities at, like...
I can tell you right now there's a hacker crackdown going on.
You think so? Yeah.
I mean, you heard about what happened to Dakota, right?
No, what happened to him?
We'll talk about it another day. But there's definitely a hacker crackdown going down.
Yeah, I know Saibu, like, I mean, he had, like, a fucking shitload. Everything on Scope 6, I think, right now that says, you know, this is a work in progress, is done. It is, like, it looks nice, it works fine. Whoever coded it, probably Saibu, has had so much time to work on it that, you know, it works great, but he hasn't released it because, you know, he's worried, so... That's why there's nothing new on Scope 6, which kind of sucks.
The problem is, though, Scope 6 isn't doing anything wrong.
I know. He's worried, though, but that's, you know, it's all his shit, so, I mean, I don't really have much to say, so it's just whatever. Anything with my name on it, I'll throw out there, but...
I mean, if you know that you're not breaking the law,
you're
going to piss off a lot of government officials, fucking bad. Release that shit.
Well, I'm just doing the vulnerability scanner, so, I mean...
I mean, that's not a big deal. I mean, lots of companies sell those.
Well, I can't release that because, like, I don't know if he talked about that in the Scope 6 episode, but I'll talk about it again. But he, like, we're not, you know, we're not throwing out a, like, you know, I forget any of the big names, like DFI Landguard, you know, scans for vulnerabilities, and EI, I think, you know, they have their own little vulnerability scanner.
Right, they have Retina.
Nessus. Yeah, Retina, that's what it's called. And I think Nessus is another one.
They got Satan, they got freaking Angel, they have lots and lots of them.
Yeah, they do. But ours is going to be, like, better, because we're going to code in, like, everything. We're going to go, you know, we're going to code in, like, Unicode bugs from, like, you know, way back when. We are going to do everything. We're going to have, like, actually, the only vulnerability right now is, it's not really a vulnerability. All it does is brute force share passwords. So that's about it right now. But we're going to code in, like, because it's on Windows, so you can't really, you know, it's not going to be open source. Like, I mean, I could, you know, be like, here's the module. But, like, we could code in, you know, O-Day Scope 6 stuff and whatnot. But I don't think we will, but we will, you know, Scope 6 has some really impressive exploits on there. And we, you know, we hopefully will code all of them in. And we plan on making it updatable, and it's going to be really dynamic, and it's going to be really cool. But I can't, like, I have never coded the exploits and vulnerabilities and stuff, in the Visual Basic. Like, I mean, you know, whoever codes exploits in Visual Basic. So I don't, you know, I'm going to stumble along, and I'm waiting for Cyber to get back to, because I've been working on this for a while without, like, anything from him, so it'll be a while before that gets released. I don't think, I think we're all just kind of slacking off at Scope 6. I don't know if anybody else is doing anything hardcore, but...
Well, it's the summertime. You got to get some
yeah.
you know, relaxed time. But I would really like to see the newest Scope 6 shit, because you guys are so really becoming really, really well known.
Yeah. yeah. Still have that AMO day.
Well, is that able to be talked about right now? Bring it up and get some details, or is that kind of like hush-hush?
Yeah, because you keep referring to that.
Yeah.
Is that something to talk about, or?
I guess we'll talk about it briefly. I won't.
Right.
I won't mention any. You know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Right.
But you know, for anybody who's listening, if this is actually released in time, if you're at DEF CON and someone mentions an AIM ODAI remote root for Windows, and you go, "Fucking posers! They got to be kidding!" and walk off. No, there's actually a on the rise. Like, it's up and coming, ODAI remote root for AIM. And it will be demoed and released. I don't know if it will be released. I know it will be demoed definitely at DEF CON. So hang around to hack the site booth. That's for everybody who, if you guys get this out in time for DEF CON.
No, we will.
All right. So hang around to hack the site booth. There will be interesting things going on.
So now this is something where anybody who's running AIM, you can just, get...
I know... nothing about how it works. Like, I've asked, you know, dude, you can hack me. And they'd be like, no, I'd be giving away the exploit if you're running, like, a packet sniffer or whatever. I have a sort of an idea how it works, and I think I'm wrong, though, because I've asked them. They're like, oh, no, that's not it. But basically, it won't root you, or whatever the Windows equivalent would be. You know, it's not econ, but it will give you a shell to whoever is running AIM.
Well, yeah, but most people have administrator privileges anyway.
Yeah, I know on my box, I surf the net as admin, so that's kind of dumb right there. And on my,
everyone does, though. I do it.
Yeah, because it's too much of a hassle. But I have another user account set up that I was like, oh, I'm going to be smart and surf as this user. And then, like, the other day, I was honest that user, and I was like, oh, shit, I can't do this. And I was like, you know, 4 seconds later, I was like, all right, I've got the file now. So, I mean, it's, you know... Windows doesn't have good security. I mean, once you're in, you're in. But, yeah, that's the, that baffles me. That's really cool. I want Scope 6 to have something like that. Well, I think we do have some pretty big shit, but I don't think any of it's really, you know, nothing's full. This is going to be full disclosure, though. This is not proof of concept code either. So, I mean, it's not going to be released on BugTrack. BugTrack's full disclosure, right? It's not going to be put anywhere as, like, proof of concept code. This is going to be, you know, you run it, and you compile it, and you run it, and, you know, if they're not patched, it works. But the guy who already is a super white hat, like, he has, like, a patch ready for AOL, and he's going to tell AOL about it beforehand. But that's the AIM ODAI, which will be demoed at DEF CON.
Man, that's going to be some fucking serious shit, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be... Because everyone uses AIM.
Yeah, everybody uses AIM. I'm surprised that the people who use AIM... There are people that are on, like, IRC, you know, undernet, on Hack, and, you know, I think they're, like, you know, these big Unix gurus that are, like, old-timers and stuff that are, like... Like, I had one guy tell me that he has Usenet posts older than me, and I was like, wow. But, you know, and they're like, oh, what's your AIM screen name? And, like, you know, for some reason they seem a lot more childish. You know, because, I mean, I associate AIM with, like, people my age who are, like, you know, a bunch of dumb fucks who are, like, age, sex, location, ASL.
Yeah, but you got to have AIM. I mean, the community.
Yeah, everybody has AIM.
Everybody, yeah. I'm realizing that now that, yes, everyone does use AIM.
I mean, were you back before AIM existed when everyone used ICQ?
No.
You around for that
period? I got the internet 4 years ago. So,
back in, like, 97, you know, it was all about ICQ, and they were, like, the only messaging service. There wasn't Yahoo Messenger or AIM, and I kind of missed out for the transition period, but now, like, no one uses ICQ anymore, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
ICQ was pretty wicked, though, because if you had someone's number, you can just check their IP address. totally insecure.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, AIM's a little bit... Well, AIM is pretty insecure. I mean, even the encryption that's out there is pretty insecure. I know that there's a guy who gave a talk at Hove that I wanted to go to, but, you know, the Hack This Site HBX booth was way cooler. So
Right.
Well, it was cooler to talk to people that I've been talking to online, you know, than to see some guy talk about some AIM client he wrote. I mean, you know, that's cooler. But,
well, my philosophy on the panels was, fuck them. Go to the Hope, do everything but the panels, and watch when it comes out on video.
Oh, really? There's going to be a video? I've never been to a Hope.
They record all that shit, and they come out with DVDs, and once the DVDs come, you just find someone who has money and buys them, you're like, hey, send me the DVD clips, you know?
Alright. Well, I'll look for that Cheshire's Rant session. Where that one guy got up there and talked all about how to hack Hotmail.
I can't believe they get away with that, you know?
Weren't
a bunch of people arrested at, like, DEFCON 7?
Were they? I don't know.
I know at least one at the convention and somebody got arrested, and it was, like, a big, big media movement where...
Really?
It was the DMCA. It was when I came out with the DECSS.
Oh, all right, yeah.
And they got arrested after giving a speech about it, and they, like, within 6 months, everyone, like, raised
up
awareness to get them out. I think that's why the
media... Is that
the
one where they put the code on the shirts and then people...
Yeah. I think what's happening is the whole hacker movement, the whole hacker, what's the word I'm looking
becoming
for?
Becoming mainstream. It's
the community is sticking up so much for another. The government knows if they fucking pick on one person, they're going to have a whole fuckload of people on their ass.
I mean, the whole thing with Kevin Mitnick and the Free Kevin stickers and then Adrian Lamo.
That's the same thing. This stuff is huge. And every single time this happens, the movement's bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that they're actually starting to realize that they can't get in trouble for the movement. You know what I'm saying?
I was wondering about Floodnet. You guys are familiar with that, right?
Floodnet? No.
All right. It was created, I forget the story really, but this is the basics. There's something happening with a government in, I think, South America, and someone, like a native that had moved to America that was, I guess, a programmer, you know, wanted to make a statement, but they didn't, you know, there's a big movement, I guess, in America, but, like, there's no way to send the message. And they had a big website, I guess, the government in Spain, or not Spain, in South America, had a website spreading propaganda. And, you know, they didn't want to go in and shut down the site and deface it and be like, you know, put up their own thing. So they developed a tool called Floodnet, which basically will, I'm trying to think of the newest features. The gist of it is it will go to the page and it will just, like, keep refreshing, sending, like, GET requests. And, you know, I mean, you know, if one person does that, it's like, you know, what the fuck. But, you know, if you get 20,000 people on one website getting every 5 seconds, the site is going to slow, it's going to crash. You know, I think the new feature now, it'll get invalid URLs. Like, you know, you could go to, like, George Bush's website and, you know, try and get the truth. That's obviously, you know, the truth is not on George Bush's website. So,
and that not only causes it to fake it, it causes it to do a read access.
It
does a read access for the file, finds it missing, and then it does another read access for the 404 page.
Right.
You do a double whammy with every request.
And it'll show up in the log files. So the admin will be going through and be like, oh.
Get the truth.
40,000 people trying to get the truth. So, I mean, it's really cool. And the thing is that all the people that, you know, the people who wrote the program have not gotten in trouble. The people involving, you know, how do you catch someone involved in a flood net? And, you know, I'm trying to find the booklet, the little booklet for Hope Talk, a little bit about flood net, I think. I'm not sure, but, you know, there's this one company called eToys.com that was going to sue another website called eToy.com, I think, that, you know, they were claiming that eToy.com was just trying to get hits from people mistyping. Which is kind of a, you know, weird thing. But, I mean, how many hits are you going to get by, like, missing an S? I mean, once they're there, they're going to be like, oh, what the fuck is this? Oh, I missed an S. And put it in there, and they're going to be off to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that I don't even think they were, like, affiliated. You know, like, not affiliated, but I don't even think eToy and eToys had, like, the same content. They weren't competing for anything. And eToys is a big corporation. eToy was, you know, some guy in Wisconsin that decided, hey, I'm going to buy a domain name with my PayPal account or whatever. So the people who, I think they're called the Electronic Disturbance Theater, which is a really cool name, told eToys.com that they will hold a 12 days of Christmas until their stock drops to zero if they do not withdraw from the lawsuit on eToy. And eToys.com actually withdrew from the lawsuit. They dropped it. And they paid for eToy.com their, like, you know, their legal fees. So, I mean, it's a really powerful tool. And I've been trying to figure out, you know, what if somebody, you know, made a website that was like, here, you know, on this day at this time, you know, we're going to, you know, flood whatever, you know, the Republican National Committee site on the first day that they...
Everyone's picking on those guys. Actually, I didn't quite understand what you meant for the 12 days of Christmas.
I don't know either. I guess they were just going to flood them for 12 days. And just shut them down for 12 days. And I guess
isn't
they
that
were...
like against the law, though? Isn't it just a site on denial of service? Or yeah, by having other people do your dirty work as a protector somehow?
All right. Now, denial of service is like, I have... It's one person controlling. It's either I'm denial of servicing you, or I'm using a bunch of computers to denial of service you. It's not, you know, we've got people all spread all over the country denial of service to you. And that's why I'm trying to figure out, what is the legalities? Like, how far can you see? Like, I don't know if they went out and said, we're going to do this to you, or if they merely said, we might do this to you, or if it was a big...
This could happen to you.
Hush, hush thing. And I was thinking, you know, I mean, what if, you know, somebody from, you know, some person, some 12-year-old on Hack the Site decides one day that they don't like the Republican National Committee showing up on New York, and they organize a big, huge flood net on the RNC website on the first day that they show up at New York City. What happens if somebody organizes that, and the government finds out and gets pissed? What if, like, you know, can they go after that person and arrest them? And I haven't figured it all out yet, so I'm afraid to, you know, I personally don't want to, you know, make a big statement about the RNC, because that, I mean, that's a big pet peeve of mine that they're doing that, showing up in New York City, just trying to, you know, like, I don't want to turn this into a political thing, but, like, you know, it just sort of pissed me off. So, like, I'm trying to figure this out for Jeremy as well on Hack the Site. He's the guy who runs it. You know, what the legalities are of a flood net. Like, I mean, because, I mean, you could arrest the people who started it, but what if it's, you know, just a big hush-hush thing for people, you know, just going to a website over and over again? And, I mean, like, how, you can build a case against it, but, like, you know, if the government's like, you know, you visited this site over and over on this day, I mean, like, the person could just be like, that's just what I was doing.
I mean, yes, you're right. I did view the page over and over again.
Exactly. I viewed the page over and over again. You know, I'm guilty of viewing the page over and over again. Mm-hmm. You're right. Is that a crime? You know,
maybe.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't hate to say it, but it sounds like that. Sounds like that's the type of action that, you know, we all need to start taking. Being that the laws are starting to get more vague. I'm just waiting for, you know, overseas cybercrime to start touching over here with the vagueness, you know, with just causing a computer to make a function. You know, because overseas they can just arrest you for causing a computer to make a function.
Yeah, there was this huge, I saw this on Slashdot, but I haven't heard anything about it. I'm thinking the government is sort of muffling it.
Yeah.
There's this big treaty it's been drafted, and the U.S. is either, like, not signed on, like, we're ratifying it, but they've signed on to ratify it. Basically, it outlaws any hacking tools. And I'm not being vague, because I'm stupid, and I don't know what the definition is, but that's their definition, hacking tools.
Yeah.
What is a hacking tool? Telnet's a hacking tool. My web browser's a hacking tool. I myself am a hacking tool with the knowledge I have.
Yeah.
No hacking websites. What's the NT Bug Track? That's a hacking website. Hack the Site. That is a hacking website. It's a legitimate hacking website, but it is a hacking website. You know, I mean, like, you can, you know, hacking website, they don't define, you know, illegal hacking websites, you know, like, you know, team whatever, you know, with all their ODs they've written.
Right.
You know, that's obviously, you know, their
hacking tools.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's obviously more illegal than, you know, hack the site. You know, come and hack us. Yeah, sure, it's all legal, it's all legitimate. Go for it. You know, that's, you know, a legitimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I mean, and
yeah, I mean, according to Congress, it's going to be illegal. Now imagine if they do just pass this in the blind and nobody knows about it, and then they go full force out to, like, let's say DEF CON.
I know
everybody at DEF CON is in violation of that because they have these hacking programs on their computers.
I know, and
you know the whole thing is they can all get arrested right down to Jeff. You know,
coupled with the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they can look at everything.
That is fucking scary.
I remember explaining the Patriot Act to my social studies class in 11th grade. And, like, they just didn't understand, like, the power of it. They're like, well, who cares if the government wants to look at my email? I'm, you know, I'm just cheating on my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, today. What are you doing next week, you know?
Yeah, and I'm like, all right, fine. They didn't understand government, the scope of the Patriot Act of who can request. My principal can request to look at all my emails in my internet, like, on my, you know, ISP's email server. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, some guy, congressman or some, you know, head of the FBI can request it. I mean, they're never going to. But my principal could legitimately, you know, I am a known hacker in the school. I have a hat. It's black. It says in white letters, hacker, on it. They could be, you know, raised, you know, they could have a raised concern about me breaking the school computers. And they could go to my, you know, I don't know who they go to, but it's not very high up. But the head of my, school, my principal could go to my internet service provider, I guess, and say, I need this person's, you know, all of this person's emails. And my ISP, under the Patriot Act, would have to go here. And, you know, that's insane. And I remember trying to explain that, and no one, like, I mean, the teacher got it because, you know, he has a master's. But the people in the class did not understand. And, I mean, you know, think about that, you know, going out further. I mean, all of us understand the, you know, severity of that and the implications of it. But, I mean, for each one of us that understands it, there's 27 or 28 more people that don't get it. And, you know, that's a big problem. I mean, and, you know, the Patriot Act got passed on through because of 9/11.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens if, I'm trying to think of where it was. I think it was Spain or Mexico, one of the Spanish-speaking countries. There was an attack right before an election, a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotions of the country were so great that they voted in the current president. Then later it was discovered that that attack was staged by the government.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it will happen in America that, you know, the government will stage a terrorist attack, but I'm saying what happens, you know, if, you know, there's another terrorist attack on 9/11, those bastards, you know, stick with Bush if you want to catch them.
Yeah.
And Bush gets elected back in. I mean, and then, you know, then, you know, he gets locked back in. What's the first thing he drops on Congress? Is the cybercrime treaty. What if the attack isn't, you know, a plane hitting a building or a bomb going up? What if it is a cyber, you know, a cybercrime treaty? And then, you know, that would be just so much easier to push in.
Yeah. And our laws are already as vague as can be right now.
This is so vague. I will try and find the thing on Slashdot. It was a while ago. It was 6 months or more.
Wow.
And I haven't heard a thing since. Wow. I know, like, four countries have actually ratified it and are using it now.
They're using it, right?
Yeah, they're using it. We've signed on to, you know, try and get it ratified.
Mm-hmm.
So I will try.
That'll be ridiculous.
That'll be insane.
Yeah.
Alright, if that gets passed through, the shit that will go down, because, you know, I mean, the shit that will go down will be so insane against the government for passing it. It won't even be funny. You know, they think it's bad that someone wrote Blaster and released it. I mean, holy fuck. I mean, you didn't even piss off someone. I mean, if you piss off the entire hacker community by doing this, you know.
We're talking worldwide, by the
right.
way.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck if the Pentagon scopes its bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
If every fucking Romanian, if every fucking dude who, you know, can run a like a mass router or whatever, routes 40 machines, and you have 20,000 hackers with 40 machines with high bandwidth all pointing them at a government, you know, facility. And I'm not saying to do this. I don't want any of the listeners to go out there and actually do this. I don't advocate that at all.
No.
But if it actually happens, you know, I mean, and Hairball, did you catch anything that Jello said at all?
Not really. Like I said, I don't really see the panels that much.
Oh, you were sleeping. I remember coming back from Jello's speech, and you were just, like, staring, then you're like, watch the booth, and you went in the corner and collapsed. But Jello said the problem with these laws are they're so easy to get passed, but getting rid of them is, like, almost impossible. So So, I mean, once this thing is here, it's here, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to deal with.
It seems like after 2000, a lot of these laws are just sticking now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, they get passed, and they're, you know, they're just so vague that they're just not going to go away because it's just like an umbrella for everything.
I know, and, like, the whole thing about the hacking tools, I mean, you know, if I'm an administrator and I need to use, you know, Satan or whatever to,
yeah.
you know, audit my servers.
Yeah, for legitimate service.
But what happens if by accident, you know, I have that on my laptop and I bring it home one day and, you know, somebody hacked into my machine by some chance and denial of service someone or broke in and, you know, they figured out it's me and they come home, they raid my house and they take my laptop and they go, oh, you've got Satan on here. You know, that's a hacking tool. We've got proof that you did it.
I mean, it could go so small as PDAs and, you know, wireless, wireless with PDA.
Exactly.
It could go that small.
I've seen hacking programs on PDA. I used to have a Palm 7 with a little antenna that would drain the battery so amazingly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I set it up so that the antenna would, when you flipped it up, instead of trying to contact the satellites that you can't get to in the middle of bumfuck New York, which is where I live, when you flip the antenna up, it would bring up this little thing to crack, like Cisco passwords or whatever. You know, I never used it, but, I mean, that's a hacking tool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my political soapbox for the episode. We were on Scope 6, weren't we?
I think we moved away from Scope.
Open floor, you know,
yeah.
That's the whole idea of the show.
Yeah, I don't know what else to talk about.
I don't know. I think a lot of this needed to be covered, though,
yeah.
you know, because, like, we don't cover that much political in this, you know, here on the show.
You guys didn't cover anything with,
we did with Zuck and stuff.
See, Zuck, though, we really wanted to talk to him about Hack This Site, and he talked a lot of political stuff, so we're really glad to have you on to cover the stuff he missed.
I've got it. Oh, man, Hairball, did you catch someone, me and, Jeremy were talking to those two people that came up to the booth and were mad with the zine?
Yeah,
well,
I was there.
Did you hear some of it?
Wow.
It was like a typographical error. Was that somebody else?
No. These were two people from the Army that came up and had read the zine and decided that it was too angry. People from the Army saying that we're too angry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, Jeremy did not want to talk about it at the booth. So they went away, and I was like, oh, what's going on? And I asked my friend Eric, who was the other person that was with me, in case you were wondering. I wandered. I was like, oh, what's he doing? And I was like, oh, dude, watch the booth. And I just wandered away, and I was standing outside, and, you know, they were saying, you know, oh, this is not, you know, this isn't real. I want to see numbers backing up the numbers, which I, you know, that didn't make any sense. They didn't say that, but, you know, it was like, we said something like 40% of the people vote in the country, which, or it might be even less. But, like, that's a fact. They wanted a fact to back up the fact, which I don't understand.
They wanted you to show you where to get your source from.
They wanted our source.
This is belief. I mean, if you tell someone who's in the Army, who goes, you know, I've never personally been through boot camp before, but I've talked to people who have, and it is, not only is it brainwashing, and they tell you, they come out and tell you, we're going to wash your brain and make you love the government.
They do.
And they do it. They get a really fucking good job at it. My friend's in the Navy. And I could show him all the proof in the world of all the shit that Carmen's done. He's like, no, that can't be real. Listen, it's on CNN. It's real. You know? No,
yeah.
It can't be.
Well, CNN isn't that good of a source. But no, these two people are mad because I don't know exactly what part. I mean, the preface, I think, to the zine was kind of angry. He did say, you know, we're fighting a fucking war. I mean, okay, yeah, that's angry, but that's, you know, that's
an attention grabber, you know?
Yeah. I mean, literally, I could quote the zine right now. There's a part about organizing a student revolution. It says somewhere in there, have fun, blow bubbles.
Uh-huh.
Where's the anger in blowing bubbles? And they were really mad that it was angry. Like, they kept moving as we shot down the things they were saying. But I got sucked into it because she said, it was a girl and a guy. I got sucked into it because, you know, she was saying that 40% was wrong, it was higher. And I know for a fact that, you know, it is 40% or lower. So I said that, and suddenly they swarmed around me. So then they're all around me, and I somehow got sucked into the conversation. But they were very angry. You know, they didn't like Bush. You know, and she said she'd gone to a protest, and she didn't like Bush. But then she joined the Army because she was pissed about the terrorist attacks. And now she's back home and she's pissed about the zine being too angry. And, you know, it was a, they were being a bunch of hypocrites, but, you know, they were telling us we were too angry, but they were the ones who joined the army. You know, she said, you know, I was pissed, I joined the army, I realized that was a mistake. And then 2 minutes later, her friend was saying, you know, that logic is a cool and concise decision, and we weren't making logical decisions with the zine. I was just like, eventually me, I looked at Zach, and he looked at me, and we just, like, you know, they couldn't see our reactions, but we just sort of smiled and winked at each other and walked back to the booth. Because, you know, it, we couldn't win the argument, you know, because they wouldn't listen to us, but, you know, we would just shoot things down. We'd be like, no, that's wrong. Here's proof. And they wanted to know, you know, the exact source. And I was like, it's the Gallup poll, whatever. they were like, look at what Michael Moore is doing. I'm like, oh, they were pissed about the hacktivism, you know, hacking into websites, saying, you know, instead of, have any of you seen the dare.com deface?
I was privy to that one. About 5 minutes after it happened, I got a link to it.
Right. The dare.com got defaced. And, you know, instead of being like, you know, we owned you, get more secure, you know, Romanian group, whatever. But, you know, instead of saying something like that, they had an actual message to convey. They were like, you know, they actually had something to say. And, you know, that's what hacktivism is. You know, FloodNet is another form, which is what I talked about earlier. And, like, defacing websites as well. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, go out and deface websites. I'm saying if you are defacing websites, you know, you might as well have a message. It's sort of like, you know, you can't really tell people not to have sex, but you can tell them, you know, use a condom. So it's like, I'm saying, that's really weird, but
throwing that analogy, though.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, people are going to deface websites, you know, regardless of what SoulSafeMoon says. I am not like this messiah that I'm going to be like, don't deface websites. And, you know, Zoom H will drop, you know, they won't have any more hits because there's no more defacements. But I'm saying if you're going to face the page, give your shout-outs in smaller font and at least have a message that, you know, that's important. I mean, don't give shout-outs to me either.
Don't give shout-outs, period, and you make co-defendants.
I mean, well, people are, but, I mean, you know, at least have a point. So they were pissed about the hacktivism, and they were saying, you know, look at what Michael Moore's doing. And I'm like, and I shot back with, we don't have the resources to make a movie. And if we did have the resources to make a movie like Michael Moore did, we don't have the money to put it in, you know,
production.
Theaters. We don't, I mean, okay, say we made the movie, all right? Independently, we got the movie done. We don't have the, you know, we don't have the connections or the resources or whatever that he does to get it into theaters where it needs to be seen by mainstream people. We have the resources, you know, to have Sundance put it on at 2 o'clock in the morning and have IFC, the Independent Film Channel, put it on at, you know, 3:30 in the morning. And, you know, that's like preaching to the choir. I mean, you know, those people are already, you know, not conservative people, they're more liberal. You know, they already know most of the stuff. They already know that they're not going to vote for Bush. So that's a waste. I mean, it's just repeating a message over and over again. That's why, you know, like, Jell-O's speech was great, but, you know, we already knew most of the stuff. So, you know,
we already knew it, but a lot of people didn't, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people there, I mean, the hacker community, that's what's great. I mean, the real hacker community, not, you know, every bumfuck.
Right.
On Hack the Site and every, you know, script kitty, but the actual, you know, people that, you know, actually get things done, the people who code the exploits, the people who are actually learning and moving around,
right.
Actually, you know, progressing. That community is more aware politically and, you know, I mean, like Jell-O, he had a lot of good points, but a lot of, you know, I knew all that stuff. I've read a bunch of Michael Moore books. I mean, the only thing that surprised me was, like, the prison stuff happening, you know, here. But
which prison stuff is that?
There is, you know, the abuse that happened in the prisons in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff is actually happening over here.
Yeah. Well, I already know about that. I was already in prison.
I didn't know that, you know. There are the security guards will open up doors
yeah.
for people of opposite gangs.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It goes worse than that. They do it for, like, pedophiles. Like.
Right. Well, I mean,
one of these days, like, off the show, I'll tell you all about prison life.
Right.
Like, what really goes on in prison.
They were staging cockfights, and, you know, some retarded men got,
yeah.
like, boiled. But,
yeah.
I mean, they're prisoners, yes, they've done something wrong. They're there to, you know, serve time. But,
you really want a real bombshell? Every maximum security jail that has a wall instead of a fence, the mess halls are equipped to spill out sarin gas, you know, like a nerve agent, if martial law is ever declared.
Oh, wow.
So, like, people that are in maximum security, they're the first to go. Because I forget which president signed the executive order. It's in the book, Behold a Pale of Horse.
Well, that is the martial order within the country, a lockdown within the prison.
Right, but see, the thing is, though, is, like, maximum security is that, you know, everybody's going to be moved to the mess hall, and then they're just going to gas everybody. And what's really messed up is, like, in Attica, Collins, like, all the prisons here in New York State, Elmira, the mess halls are equipped. You can see where the stuff's going to spray from the ceiling. You know, and this ain't tear gas because, you know, they have what's called bird's nests, you know, which is they're like glass, you know, on the side of the walls with the gun ports that they, you know, shoot out the CN gas and stuff, you know, for the normal tear gas. But up in the ceilings, there's these chutes, you know, where like the actual, you know, fucking D-Day fucking gas is going to be coming out. Like, you know, these prisoners are going to be treated like a bunch of Jews.
Well, I didn't know that. At first, I thought you said, you know, if something happened within the prison or something.
No. This is like a martial law ever was declared.
So if, like, a terrorist attack happened and they declared martial law, is this something like that? Is that the decision of, you know, whoever?
This is an executive order.
No, I mean, like, if martial law is declared, it is a definite that the prisoners will be killed.
Yeah.
Like, if martial law
is declared. Yeah, it is an executive order.
So it's a given. Well,
yeah, because the reason why is because, I guess, the way Cooper explained it, and, like, a couple of the old prison guards that were there, is that, you know, that the prisoners would be the first to revolt because there's nothing to lose. Like, what are you going to do, put them in jail? You know, they're already in jail. Yeah, you know, and, like, it's only at the maxes, you know, where, you know, you're doing 15, 25 years life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is like, you know, you're behind the wall, you know, you know, you're not looking out a fence and you see the highway type shit.
Yeah.
You know, you're behind a wall, you got the gun towers, you know, I mean, shit.
Yeah, I've seen several of the prisons in New York, they're pretty scary.
Yeah, and the castles.
My mom actually took, like, a shortcut through one of the prisons and was like, Mom, you know, we might get...
I'm surprised she didn't get pulled over.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, there's a road that, you know, went through the prison, not, like, through it, you know.
Right, but, like, around the outside gate, like the perimeter road.
Yeah, and it had signs, do not pick up hitchhikers and all that.
Yeah. I'm surprised she didn't get stopped.
Well, I mean, it's in the country, and there's no place, you know, to really stop us. And if we were going to be stopped, we wouldn't stop because it says not to pick up hitchhikers.
Yeah.
It says, you know, because there's no booths or any, like, you know, guard posts. I mean, if there's a guard thing, we would stop.
Well, there's, like, perimeter vehicles, though, and they make rounds, like, about every 5-10 minutes. That's what I was saying. I'm surprised you weren't stopped.
Oh, all right.
They can obviously,
yeah,
you know, that happens
big
a lot.
Man. I could see us getting stopped. But, yeah, I didn't know that about the prisons. Like, I mean, Jell-O said some stuff that I was like, wow, but that...
Yeah, they put sedatives in the water at night. That's why you'll never see COs drink the water in a prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they drug the food, you know, to try and keep the inmates calm down.
Oh, wow.
All sorts of crazy shit going on in there. Yeah. Guards will go ahead and pop cells, you know, shit like that. All sorts of crazy crap. But anyways, back to you.
Interesting note to pick up on. That's another good thing about Hack the Site, in a way, because it has, you know, it has the whole, like, you know, challenges and everything, and it has, like, a get involved section where you can submit articles and links and stuff, and then there's, like, this other section where it's, like, a get informed, I think, I don't know, but it has a bunch of, I don't want to say radical, but it is, in a way, radical, but... Mm-hmm. And it has a bunch of stuff about, you know, like, politics and stuff, and that's another interesting thing. I mean, the weird thing is, though, that, like, I don't know what to feel about this, but we have a bunch of really young, we get, like, 12-year-olds on the site, and they're very impressionable, and I mean, I'm glad that Hack the Site is not over-zealous about all this stuff, about stuff like that, but the zine has a lot of, you know, not rebellious, but... And I don't know what the word would be. It would be rebellious, I think. But, you know, aware.
Mentality.
I think, yeah. I think, you know, making people more aware, which is good. There's a couple of links that Jello mentioned. Not links, because he doesn't use the internet. A couple of, he might have mentioned links, but he mentioned a couple of newspapers overseas, the BBC and stuff, that he liked, that had news that, you know, we don't get.
Right. I'm pretty amazed about like what the BBC shows as compared to what we're showing.
We show, like, never before, I don't think, has a candidate been so biased against in the media. But whatever, because I mean, Clear Channel owns all this shit.
Yeah.
And they're definitely in cahoots, probably,
yeah,
with some of the companies.
We got Clear Channel and Citadel.
Yeah.
Those are the two powerhouses of...
I haven't heard anything about Citadel, really.
Yeah, well, they're like... actually, I think they might be owned somewhere down the line by a Clear Channel.
Oh, all right.
But, like, usually, like, in your local area, you'll have, like, Clear Channel and then, like, Citadel.
Yeah.
And then that's all it'll be, because, like, Clear Channel will own, like, 8 of the radio stations, and then Citadel will own, like, 2. You know?
Yeah. I know the radio's turned to... shit, pretty much.
Yeah, man.
That's another thing. I like how the RIAA is bitching about, you know, artists losing money. We're losing record sales. And then you look at, you know, the price of CDs went up and the amount of CDs, you know, went down that were produced. And they're like, we're losing money. Well, you know, why don't you lower the cost and put out more?
And then their artists are still going 8 times platinum, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You know, they're losing sales.
That's another thing Jello said. He said he went through the Billboard charts, and every record was gold or platinum.
Right.
And it's like, wow. But most of the music out there, like, I mean, if you think about what, you know, I can't really think of too many good CDs that have been released. It's not just that it's higher costs and less CDs. Well, less CDs, yes, but I can't really think of anything that I thought, wow, I need that CD. I thought stuff where I'm like, oh, I bought the CD, and I'm like, oh, it's, you know, it's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, I can't think of anything mainstream right now that I would actually go out to a music store and get.
The only... I don't think I bought any, like, mainstream music. I mean, I heard a Yeah 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 song, and I bought that CD.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not mainstream, really. I mean, they're on the radio, but they're not huge.
All right.
Actually, I did buy a Modest Mouse CD, and they're pretty big.
Hmm.
But they have a lot of indie cred, so... They have, like, 5 or 6 CDs out. Actually, for the next Hack the Slate zine, I want to write, you know, I want to write something about, like, political music or something. Because a lot of, like, you know, kids at 12 are listening to, you know.
Like Rage Against the Machine.
Well, yeah, I don't want to smash this that they're listening to and say it's garbage, but, I mean, you know, there are bands that are more political. Like, yeah, like Rage Against the Machine. And, you know, there are a lot of bands that send a good political message.
Right.
And, I mean, it's sort of, you know, very soft, but say, like, Sinead O'Connor, the Cranberries, I mean, it's very, you know, I mean, nobody would ever think to listen to Sinead O'Connor, but, I mean, she does have a powerful message and stuff sometimes to send.
Oh, yeah, she ripped up a picture of the Pope, you know.
I know.
That's pretty powerful.
And the Rock Against Bush CD, which is, you know, that's a CD that's really good. There are a lot of good songs on there. The Offspring is actually putting out some good music now, which I'm... happy to see, because I think everything after Smash was shit.
Right.
I know Americana was a bad CD, and everything after that has been garbage. But they actually have a good song on there. There's a bunch of bands that send a good message on the Rock Against Bush CD.
Hmm.
Volume 1, actually, I'm hoping they're putting out a new one soon.
I don't know, it's just interesting to see which musicians start vying with which presidential candidate.
Yeah.
You know, that's like what's being covered in the news a lot right now politically. It's like, who's going with who that's a celebrity, you know.
Has anyone read the newest issue of 2600?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, there's a letter in there by some guy who said, you know, John Kerry said something about blah, 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 and hack around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it sounded really odd. And the reply was from 2600, this really surprised me, is that they asked both candidates to use the word hack publicly to show their support for hackers.
Yeah.
And that's...
And Kerry did that?
Yeah, Kerry did that. And
wow.
I mean, like,
Ooh, 2600 asked them to do that?
2600, I think. I'm pretty sure 2600.
Because
I bought the newest issue.
Right.
And I saw that in there, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, I mean, he's a politician, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to, you know, say, hack around or whatever,
right.
You know, later on. I mean, it wasn't a big thing.
You know they do that anyway on, like, you know, on, like, little, like, subliminal level and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
To show their support to stuff.
Which, you know, that's really cool, so. And I also like what Jello said, how he doesn't really like Carrie either, and I don't know if he said this or Zach said this, but, you know, the draft might be reinstated under Carrie's administration.
Right.
Which, I don't think I can be drafted, though, but.
Oh, I can. I'm a convicted felon, so I ain't gonna worry about that shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, I don't know, man. I think a lot of shit's gonna happen either way, regardless of who's in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because,
definitely.
Like, Carrie took Edwards as a running mate.
Regardless of who gets in the presidency, I mean, they are behind the wheel, but, I mean, other cars can still crash into them.
Right.
So, I mean, other stuff might happen and whatnot.
Yeah, but when you come, you know, when you both come from the same parking garage, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the same four-car garage, you know. I think that all you're doing is just, you know, like, finishing off the work of the other.
Yeah, but,
you know.
But, yeah, what he said was that, you know, we have to vote for Kerry. Get Bush out of office, but once we have Kerry in office, we have to find the biggest fucking blowtorch we can and keep it under his ass.
Yeah.
That's pretty close to his exact words. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't let him slip. I mean, we let Clinton slip. And, you know,
well,
we got
Clinton wasn't that bad, though.
Clinton was pretty terrible. I mean, we got NAFTA.
Yeah, he did slide that under us under the HMO.
And
we did get NAFTA. That's the only slip-up thing that Clinton did, though, was NAFTA.
No, he had a couple. There's actually a few. I remember reading the Michael Moore book. Like, you know, he held up the pen and he said, this is the pen that I will use to sign through, you know, what was it, healthcare for everyone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Called it, though. And, you know, that never happened. And, you know, he declared 3 years later. Or no,
actually, I think there was two slip-ups. There was the HMO and then NAFTA.
Yeah, NAFTA's great. I love it when, you know, Mexico or some poor country goes, we don't want you to dump our chemicals, and some large billion-dollar corporation sues them, gets to dump their chemicals, and gets $16 million.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Well, it's even worse than that because, like, jobs are actually leaving America because of NAFTA.
Yep.
You know, so that's the only thing I don't like. They'd rather go ahead and go down to Mexico, you know, like, let's say, you know, GM, and then, you know, go into this development area that's not even developed in Mexico yet, build a plant, maybe about a mile away, build all these houses, and then turn around and then just give these houses to people that work for them in Mexico, and then just pay them, you know, like 25, 30 cents an hour, and, you know, give them this house.
It's such a bitch for me to get a job. I mean, I'm 18 with no work experience, and I've applied 20, 30 jobs, and I've only... You know, I have a job right now, but I mean, it's, you know, I still need it because I have to go to college, so I need another job.
Right.
And the job I have right now is pretty much a summer job. I work at a camp, and I, you know, I do ropes course and paintball.
Right.
But I mean, once winter hits, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I need to be able to pay car insurance, gas money, you know, books, college.
Local Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or the bookstore. Bookstores are popular.
Yeah.
They're always hiring.
Yeah.
And you get 2600.
Yeah. I've discovered the wonderful world of e-books recently.
Yeah.
I found out that all the books I've ever wanted, except for one, are online.
Nice. What, in full print?
Yeah.
Well, so to speak.
Yeah. I found everything but the Shellcoder's Handbook.
Nice.
Which is kind of funny, because that's the book I want the most. But I found, you know... I'm considering sending the authors themselves.
Did you try McGraw-Hill for the Shellcoder's Handbook?
Is it put out by them? I thought it was put out by, I forget the name, but I remember I couldn't find it on Emule and Kazaa.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard, you know, I've talked to some people who've, like, I just got into it, you know, I've been downloading books for, like, 3 days.
Right.
I've talked to people who, you know, they're part of Team Lib, or, you know, that's one of the big books, whatever,
right.
Tracking, whatever you want to call it. You know, and I couldn't find it on Books with a Z, like Wares.
Right.
Nothing on the internet, couldn't find it there. And I've heard that, you know, it's a big book. So, you know, But I've downloaded one book. It's 1,170 pages of Visual Basic.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've gotten I'm considering sending the authors, though, money, because the publishers do fuck them over with royalty checks. So if I just download the books and I send them the, money themselves, that benefits them directly, and that's really good. I actually got that idea because I got some book where a guy, he said that he didn't, like the idea of, free books. I mean, he liked the idea, but he felt that the author should get some. So if you like the book, support the author. And again, I read that in 2600 about, there's a big article, I think, about, downloading wares and how to get into the whole scene. I mean, it's kind of lame, but it was kind of interesting to see how it all worked. And he was saying how, many of the teams will say, if you like this program, go buy it, which is pretty cool. I mean, that's what I'm on dial-up, so I can't download a whole CD. But I mean, if I want to, if I want to listen to a CD before I buy it, I'll download a song and I'll be like, oh, this song's all right, and download it and be like, oh, that's, this is a great song about a CD. Or, I've saved myself a couple times from buying really shitty CDs. And I bought a couple CDs that I wouldn't even think twice about because I downloaded a bunch of the songs and then I bought the CD. And I think Jello said that they did a study that on all CDs, not all CDs, but on CDs that sold 6,000 or more copies, the sales increased by like 2 million.
Alright.
Because of file sharing. And so I don't really know what the RIAA is going for, because it's not money, because, they could be making more money with file sharing.
I just don't think that they like the idea that whole albums can be created.
I know. I mean,
I really think that that's what their problem with the whole thing is.
Yeah, they can't accept the idea of moving forward, I guess.
Yeah.
But look at iTunes. I mean, iTunes, how many millions of dollars has iTunes made? I mean, it owns, 40, 60% of the market. I mean, it's a market now. I mean, if it was such a big deal that people could download music off of Kazaa, iTunes would have failed. And the three spinoffs of iTunes, not spinoffs, the three copycats of iTunes would have also failed. So...
I don't know. I think they need to go in and, target market and see why people are doing it. Kind of specific reason, and then get a general assumption about
it. The reason why iTunes is so successful is because they put out really high-quality stuff.
Yeah.
If you ever downloaded some music off of Kazaa, you don't know what the fuck you're getting.
Yeah.
It could be a radio rip. It could be some LP that got ripped into MP3. Could be incomplete song, low quality.
Right, but I mean, like what I'm saying is, are people getting individual songs, or are they getting whole albums like the RIA is trying to say that people are?
I know on iTunes, I think you can download, whole albums, Xbox or whatever, which is pretty cool. But I know on Kazaa, I can't download about, a whole album because I'm on dial-up, but even if I was, I don't think I really would. I mean, even if I did, I still want to buy the, CD for the linear notes and stuff.
Right.
And I want to support the artists, even though they're probably getting fucked over and not getting, a good royalty check.
Right.
Pretty sure they get a nickel for receiving itself.
I know, which is nuts.
Then it boils down to what type of if they have their own label or whatever. Like Avid, he knows a lot. Avid, you still with us?
Yeah. Actually, I just want to make a comment.
Go for it, man. This is all you.
If you feel guilty about downloading music, because the art, you're kind of ripping off the artist 5 cents. Here's something that, I just want to, say. Download the album and send the artist $1, personally to them. They'll be getting more money than they would have from the label, and you'll be getting what you want. And you'll be bypassing the label, too.
That's a hell of a good idea.
What are your views on, the RIA? Because, I know that you're doing a lot with, indie and stuff.
That's kind of a complicated one. I don't know really where to begin with that. As far as popular songs that are played on the radio, I can't say I have an objection to people downloading them because they're pretty much available, on the radio or television or what have you, to listen to anyway. I personally don't give a shit about any of the companies under the RIAA or any corporate label for that matter. I do care about the artists, though, which is, why I'd, somewhat recommend buying their CD only for their sake. But other than that, like, I say fuck the industry. The indie labels are the ones that should be supported.
Cool.
And I don't mean indie, like, lately people have been saying they're independent labels, like, I'm sure people have heard of the label D2, who had, like, I forget who was on that, but, like, anyway, there's, like, some labels that are labeled indie, and they're not really indie, they're just, like, sub-corporate, and the major labels are pushing those labels as indie, and that's total bullshit. They're not independent at all.
Damn.
Yeah, it was big when grunge blew up in the 90s, that the corporate labels were trying to find bands with indie credibility and trying to get labels that were, you know, that were putting out incredible stuff. They were trying to actually, like, you know, and then they tried making their own, but I think it failed because it was such a tight community that people realized, where did this come from, and fail, which is pretty cool. But, I like the idea of sending the artist a dollar, you know, if you, you know, download the music or whatever, and that's the same thing that, you know, I read on the preface of one of the e-books I downloaded. If you like the book, you know, send the author a buck.
And, I mean, a buck really ain't that much anyway.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, I mean, for some people it might be, but, you know, when you think about how much you download...
Well, I mean, like...
It's more than they'd be getting to begin with, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can afford a dollar. I mean, like, getting... All right, like, the books, that's the bitchy thing about computer books and all, like, books that are new. It's like $40 for Hacking Exposed.
Right.
And, I mean, shit like that, or, like, you know...
They got that in McGraw-Hill, so...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, if I could just get the book and send me a person who wrote it a dollar, I mean, that would
right.
make me feel pretty good. But most of the books that I found are kind of stripped down. Like, a couple of them I've had trouble figuring out who, like, wrote them. A couple I actually haven't figured out who wrote them or whatnot. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, by the style of the book. Because they're just right, they're directly scanned in and an OCR is used. So, I'm kind of confused about, you know, like, I mean, if I wanted to do that, it'd be great. I mean, I've downloaded, like, 12 books. I mean, I've downloaded 12 books, and even if I don't like any of them, I could, you know, $12, I could send $12 for 12 books I don't like. I mean, that's cheap. I mean, stamps are, you know, what, a third of that? More than a third?
Yeah.
It costs, you know, a lot just to send it. I mean, whatever. Yeah. So ebooks is my newest craze. I've been downloading. Like, I'm on Dial-Up, and I've had Kazaa and Emule both going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all night, and I'd wake up, yeah, I've got our 40-megabyte book.
Cool.
Exactly.
It's like, oh my God, I got the whole thing.
Yeah, that's, oh, I'm so pissed. I have a couple of books that I've been searching for days, and one is 40.85 megabytes, and I have 39.95 megabytes of it. I can't find anybody online who has it again.
Yeah,
that's what I would be doing right now if I wasn't talking to you guys. My internet connection would be going crazy downloading ebooks.
Have you checked out Project Gutenberg at all?
Yeah, I've heard about that. That's just with the public domain books, right? Or is that with everything?
That's with books that don't have a copyright anymore.
Yeah, public domain. Yeah, that's great if I wanted to know, like, a classic novel or something, which is great. But, I mean, you know, if I'm like, oh, fuck, I need another visual basic book to cross-reference something or something like that, you know, I mean, that's obviously not public domain yet.
Right.
I remember there was a chapter of Kevin Mitnick's book that got cut out, and I found it online, which is kind of cool.
Which book?
The old one, Art of Deception. Is the new one out yet? I don't think it was.
I'm not sure if it is out yet. I know that he was on Coast to Coast promoting it.
Yeah.
Because
I think
he's got like two, doesn't he? He's got one that's going to be about like social engineering, and he's got another one that's going to be about like other people's stories or whatever.
There's already one out about social engineering. I've heard about this, the other people's stories. I actually know a guy that has like his cell number because he told Kevin Mitnick about one of the sexy hacks he did.
Yeah.
You know, he knows he's his cell phone number. I'm like, wow.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he posts that on his website, though.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he has two cell phone numbers.
Terrible, what were you going to say about the chapter?
Well, the missing chapter, I never really got a chance to read it. Is there anything really good in there? Or is this sort of just a publicity stunt thing?
No. There was some reason that I got cut out. I was like, oh, wow, I downloaded it. And it was like, oh, yeah. Like, I can understand the concern, but it was like, oh, that's...
I'm thinking they probably took it out just to raise hype about the book.
Well, yeah, but I did. I already bought the book just because I was like, oh, Kevin Mitnick's not a book. It wasn't, you know, did you hear something on the news about, you know, the first chapter of Kevin Mitnick's book was cut out? You know, I didn't hear anything about it. I just saw it one day. I was like, oh, wow. So, for all I know, it couldn't even be, like, you know, by him. So I just took that with a grain of salt. All
right. Well, I don't know, boys. What do you think? Wrap it up? Still I go on, so?
Yeah, I think we should wrap it up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Alrighty. Anything you want to promote?
Not really. Just all the various stuff I talked about. You know, go buy the Hack the Site zine if there are any left. I don't know. That's hackthesite.com/zine. Z-I-N-E. That's the only thing I've got.
Alright. Avid?
I got a few things.
Alright.
STLPunk.com, St. Louis Area Punk, DigZine.com, D-I-G-Z-I-N-E.
DigZine is good.
What else was I going to promote? Oh, yeah, Whitesword.tk. Check out Whitesword TZ. And that's all.
Nice. Harold?
I can say that the donation drive for the HBX Shell server is up to $750.
Ooh.
So we're well on our way. More information at www.hisinhotelbisinbravoxinxray.us.
Nice. And as always, go ahead and promote our buddies Default Radio. That's DEAULTRAD.
DEFAULT.
Well, yeah, it's 4 in the morning. All right, so it's defaultradio.com, and of course binrev.com, binrev.com. As always, you can check our news line at 206-888-5819, which I'll be updating this morning, and hacksawradio.com, don't forget it, and I guess we're out. Peace.
You were just listening to Monsters from Mars. Escape from Castle Wolfenstein, www.monstersfrommars.com. At the beginning of the show, you heard Spectre. That's spelled S-P-E-K-T-R. The name of the song is House Search. Find them at www.spektrscope.com. Buy their record at alternate.dk. I am a dumb AT&T bitch who speaks too fast, and I need lots of commas shoved into my axe wound.